You're very good.
Hey, Don, Mike, about that last comment, you're on your own.
They're about to, oh, schools are out of control. Oh, they're out of control. We need prayer in the schools. We don't need prayer in schools. We need the tossed salad man in school. That'll straighten the kids out.
My salad, that's it, we're straight. Toss my salad.
Hey, I'm gonna go toss the virtual salad.
You're very good, you.
Why did he deserve to die, Mr. Guest?
Because he was acting like a total ass.
And in your view, people that you perceive to be ass should be killed?
Well, in many cases, it might make the world a better place.
You're very good, you.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
Now, I want everybody together to go ahead and say, penis, 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 vagina, vagina, vagina.
What?
Come on, y'all, say it.
Oh, really?
Penis.
Gift, my friend. God bless you. Got a f***ing gift.
His sister, on the other hand, gave herself a lot of options, such as Bowdoin, Holy Cross, Georgetown.
You know that Georgetown is a total reach for me.
Oh, please, they'd be crazy not to want you.
If I can get in there, that means I probably can get into Berkeley.
Over my dead body.
There are more Nobel Prize winners in the San Francisco Bay Area than anywhere on the planet.
Nobel Prize for what? Back in fudge?
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Don and Mike, you know, I heard you were having a party, and you're trying to get me to go, but I'm not going to go if there's no f***ing ZD, because, you know, it's just not going to happen. Thank you very much.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
That time of the day, stadium announcer Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
You know, that Phil is something. You know what he told me?
What did he tell you?
He loves you, little Phil Stiff.
You.
You're very good, you.
You're very good, you.
You're very good, you. You're very good, you.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Robust and all the ships at sea. They're very excited about Katie Couric's on-air colonoscopy. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Yeah, you know, we can't do anything without somebody following our lead. Huh?
I know, she's stealing my idea.
Hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast, nationwide, via Westwood One. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Meara, Don and Mike Show coming to you today.
Today.
From the flagship studios of radio station WJFK FM in Washington, D.C.
Right.
We are brought to you via satellite from Westwood One on 56 affiliate radio stations, and we have over 6 million listeners to this show every day. At least that's what they tell the Arbitron Ratings Company.
Well, that's nice of them.
And we humbly thank them. We can only imagine the people who don't tell the ratings company double, perhaps triple that number.
Those would be the closet listeners.
Christ, we got a big audience. No thanks to Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel, Donald Monkey Boy, from where Ken the Jackal, who's in the building today. And here he is, my left and your right. Man, that layered look never goes out of style. When you are Guy J. Elston.
That's right. Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz. Looks like you're wearing some sort of medical bib.
Yes, I am.
And hello, everybody. And hi, it's Monday. Mark 6, 2000. Our telephone number, 1-877-365-3636. Got to open the lines up right now so we can get to what would you do for $1,500?
Marvelous.
We will start taking those calls as soon as you phone with them. We're planning on the big freak show being this Thursday, on Thursday's episode.
Thursday.
Somebody wins $1,500, courtesy of Nowhere to Land on TBS Superstation. We've had a bunch of calls already, and quite a few of them we've had to turn down, frankly.
Yes.
So if you have a wacky idea, something you'd like to do, what would you do for $1,500. Now is the time to call and set up your appointment for Thursday's episode.
But certainly don't hesitate if you think that something that's going to, you know, that we're not going to be able to do. We'll be the judges of that, and quite often, even if we can't do it, it's sure fun to hear it anyway.
Like the human fountain.
Yeah.
Friday mentioned that he could shoot his relish 15 feet.
Amazing how a segment of the show that is all too brief gets around very quickly. I was speaking to a number of people over the weekend about that. It was and from all different walks of life, all different ages, too. People got word of the man, the amazing shooting man.
Yeah, you know that I actually caught myself at one point on Saturday. Actually marking off 15 feet.
Really, just to see how far it was.
See how long that was.
Pretty impossible task. Well,
wow.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Wow, now there's something for the Goodwill Games. So listen, Toya is standing by. As soon as you call with your thoughts about what you'd like to do for $1,500, we'll break into the show today and tomorrow. Take us a couple of days to set this baby up. And we are planning on having the freak show on Thursday.
Look forward to it.
On Thursday. Now, I do have a bunch of weekend stuff to tell you about today. Oh, Christ, I had quite a weekend. Lots of stuff. We'll be, of course, talking about television, since that's mainly all we do is watch television.
That's it.
We'll be talking about The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about Ellen's boobs.
Yeah, I missed that.
Ellen has fantastic boobs.
Really?
I mean, not good.
You.
Not good boobs.
You.
Not good.
You're very good, you.
Not good. Ellen DeGenitals, as I think I've predicted on this show before.
Well, you've always talked about Anne Heche.
Yeah, but I think if you go back and check the records.
You made positive comments about Ellen's body?
I thought just her boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Ellen has great jugs. When she took her shirt off last night.
See, I didn't know that she had actually full frontal nudity. I didn't know that.
Ellen not only has great jugs, but Ellen's areolas...
If these boobs could talk...
They are about the size of, on a standard Domino's pizza,
mm-hmm.
of a pepperoni.
And that's the way you like them.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Big and meaty.
You enjoyed seeing her topless.
Ellen's got some great...
How are you... I have a question for you. You mentioned this to me in the office, and it's when I accused you of being unwell when you said that to me. And I'm curious, when you said that, how were you able to process the breasts alone without her big, oversized, like, man in the moon head? How are you able to get by that mug, that Ellen DeGeneres face?
Because you can't take your eyes off her boobs. You know, when she took... Now, I am...
Were they better than Sharon Stone's?
Yes! I'm telling you, in my humble opinion, and perhaps some people will call today and back me up on this, Ellen DeGeneres has spectacular breasts.
See, I'm not just good. That's what's great about HBO.
Spectacular.
I'm going to watch the replay of that. You know, I watched bits and pieces of it. And
so did I, and I just lucked into seeing her boobs.
So it was a sex scene that you got it. Well, when they were getting it on?
Yes, when she takes her shirt off. She and Sharon Stone both take their shirts off.
Was that the scene when they were going through the process of artificial insemination or was that earlier on?
No, this... I don't know.
Probably early on.
I don't know where it was in the show. It was around 10 o'clock.
Okay.
That's all I know for sure, because I was going back
and forth. That was early then.
I couldn't stand to watch the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I just happened to click on when she was taking her top off, and wow.
That's incredible.
To quote Buzz and to quote Charles Mann, wow.
Spectacular. If you were just staring at the boobs, did she appear comfortable with her nudity?
Yes. Well, really? She's a lesbian. Of course she is.
I would imagine all lesbians aren't comfortable with their nudity.
I told you up in the office that if you were to take just the boobs.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have to see the man head.
Right.
And you wouldn't have to see the stocky, you know, elephant-like legs.
Would have to see that rooster neck.
And that big buttock. If you just took just the boobs.
Yeah.
And you just put them on a piece of paper and said, are these great boobs?
10.
You'd say, yeah. Well, I mean, it's all whatever you think.
But could it be that the boobs looked so good because they were just, it was such a shocking development to see those on Ellen. Like on a supermodel, perhaps those boobs would have looked average or below average.
I'm a boob connoisseur.
See, I know you are, and I'm not doubting that I'm going to tune this in.
I'm a boob man.
And I'm going to agree with you.
I'm a boob watcher. I'm a boob watcher. Ellen's got great boobs. Really great knobs.
Oh, God.
Like pepperonis. Yeah. Like pepperonis.
Now, that's the nipple you're talking. You're honing in on that.
No, I'm talking about...
The areola. The
pepperoni is the areola part.
Yeah.
And the nipples...
Right.
Appeared to be...
little eraser heads?
Yes, like on a number 2 pencil.
Perfect.
I was not disappointed by Ellen's boobs.
Well, I'm going to have to...
I'm going to have to take a look.
Me too.
Nor was I disappointed by The Sopranos, even though they I guess they think they're the Larry Sanders show now. That
what the hell are they doing?
They can get an hour of television and just do a 40-minute show and pass it off as an hour.
Yeah. I was telling you I was so glad that I didn't hear about any advance word on the plot line because I didn't see it coming that Christopher was going to get whacked by his two henchmen. And, you know, of course, those two dopes. But I tell you, everybody knew, you know, when they pulled up in the car that he was going to get shot.
Right.
But it just completely caught me by surprise, that whole line of the plot.
I called Mike immediately last night.
Amazing.
As soon as The Sopranos was over, I called Mike up and I said, oh, finally, Christopher's dead.
Right.
Mike said, no, he's not dead yet.
No, he's not going to die now.
I think he is.
We bet. We made a huge, even, of course, people will be happy to know that even when we're not on the air, we're constantly wagering.
I think he's going to die.
We have a bet that he's not going to. If he was going to die, and I told you this, my feeling is he would have died right there. And he's too important a character to kill off.
And he has to live to suffer at Tony's hands for that story that he gave to the Hollywood people.
Uh-uh.
No.
Christopher, dead man.
Mm. Now, would you support your argument?
I'm only supporting it.
Is it a gut? Is it a hunch?
I'm supporting it by the fact that throughout the entire run of The Sopranos, Christopher's been the guy I've hated the most.
You're thinking with your emotions.
The most worthless storyline. I hate his hoary girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I think that somebody's... Somebody's finally wised up. Somebody has finally looked at this and said, you know what? There's one member of this cast who really does not fit in.
I think he's going to come back. He's going to come back. He's going to be meaner. He's going to be nastier. And I do hope that, they got the one guy, the one young kid. I hated those two kids. Yeah. And
they got the good-looking guy. They got the Chippendale guy.
Yeah, they got the Chippendale guy. And I hope they get the guy with the big, like, melanoma on his face.
I would also bet you, I know you wouldn't take this, they'll kill him next week.
Right.
And that will be a messy, messy gangland-style execution.
It certainly should be. That's what we're all looking for. But I think Christopher might come back even within the next episode.
How many times has Christopher shot? 4, 5, 6?
It looked like he got maybe hit 3 times. He got hit, like, in the shoulder, and then once it looked like in the middle of the chest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Christopher's dead.
Mark my words. He would have been dead right there. They would have killed him.
No, you wouldn't get any value out of it. What are you going to do? Kill him at 8:40 and end the show at 8:41?
He's just going to hang on. He's just going to hang on, like, for 3-4 episodes, and then he's going to die?
He might be a veg.
Now, what are you going to stick by your guns if he's, like, up and walking by the end of next episode?
No, I'll pay you.
Okay.
If he's up and walking.
All right.
By the end of next week's episode, or at any time.
Okay.
If he gets out of the hospital, puts on his bad Puma jogging suit, and starts going out running errands for Tony and for the guys.
That's the way it's going to be.
However.
Okay.
Just remember, when they have the funeral, that's when I want the money.
You will get the money if he dies.
Christopher's going to die.
I just don't see it happening.
Boom!
Not yet.
Boom, boom, boom! Might have been 6 shots, actually.
Why would they? Even though they were idiots, even though they were morons, what was their possible reason for trying to whack Christopher? Of all the people they could whack, why would they whack? Were they trying to endear themselves to Richie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
really,
so.
Or whatever.
Exactly. They wanted to get on Richie's good side, and they know that he hates. Remember the one they finally met Richie? He was busting on Christopher because he had, like, such a big nose.
That's right.
So they thought that was their way to, quote, make their move and step up.
There you go.
So,
yeah. Christopher. That's stupid. You know, I shouldn't have even asked that because they go right to Richie after that, and that's when Richie throws, like, the bowling pin at the kid. That's a great show, man.
Sure is.
Best show on television. I think everybody knows that. I mean, there's no show that's more entertaining.
All right, hold on. So here we go. You got a guy who saw Ellen's boobs last night. Chris.
Yeah.
Chris.
Son, I was watching HBO last night with my wife.
Yes.
A little lesbian show, all right. Hopefully it's some nudity. See Sharon Stone and Ellen DeGeneres. And I'm like, all right, going to see Sharon Stone at least. I was absolutely shocked. You're absolutely right. Ellen DeGeneres has great
breasts. A testimonial about Ellen's breasts.
I told you, they're top shelf.
See, when you were telling me earlier, I didn't know that we were getting the full front. You were saying, did you see Ellen? And, you know, she was wearing her big pajama outfits, and I never noticed. I didn't know that there was an actual full front nudity scene.
Great areolas.
Couldn't believe it.
Just the best.
Yeah, I don't know why they're right. Love you guys.
They give those areolas an A+. Thank you, Chris.
All right.
And hold on. Now we have calls of people. I see we have not only calls about Ellen's breasts, but people who are already calling to tell us what they would do for $1,500
on
Thursday. Okay, let's start with Justin. Hello, Justin.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy, what would you do for $1,500?
I would love to drink a big glass, cold or hot, of Dennis Murphy's bath water.
So we actually have Dennis come down here, take a bath.
And then he could even do it at home and bring it in.
There would have to be some verification that Dennis was actually in the tub with the water that you would then be drinking.
Have Dennis soak. Obviously, you wouldn't want any cleaning products in that water. You
how about
just
this?
Want Dennis.
How about a compromise? How about just Dennis soaks his feet?
Yeah, Dennis soaks his feet in water for like, what, an hour?
Yeah, his incredibly diseased fungi toes.
And then you drink the water?
That'd be perfect.
All right, that's a great compromise.
Okay, you're in then, Justin. Hold on.
A little tidier, right. Too, I think.
Hold on, we will give you a time for Thursday.
Great.
All right, good. drinking water that Dennis Murphy...
What an audience.
...soaks his feet in.
Every now and then our audience just gives us something right at the beginning of the week. Isn't that kind?
Hello, Kurt.
Yes, hey, Kurt. Buddy.
Hey, buddy.
What's going on?
Hi, my friend.
Hey, I have a special skill that I could show you for $1,500.
All right.
Within 20 seconds, I can J-O myself to conclusion, no matter what the situation.
No,
talk to my mom on the phone.
No, no, again, listen.
Everybody went, God. I am amazed at this amount of guys that want to J-O down here.
We don't want to see guys J-O. And I'll give you this, you're clever. Did you say you could J-O while talking to your mom on the phone?
Even talk to my mom or grandma, it doesn't matter the situation, 20 seconds.
And that includes, that's from completely unaroused to finishing the job.
Semi-aroused. I'm semi-aroused all the time anyway, so
no,
I have
no thank you. No thank you.
Can I ask you one question before we let you go?
Yeah.
Have you done that before while you've been talking to your mom?
I practice twice a week.
Oh
Jesus.
That's about the most.
All right, goodbye.
That ain't right.
Hi, Mom. Yeah. Okay, bye.
God.
No, please. No J-O-ing. No J-O-ing.
God.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I will give Toya a hickey for $1,500.
Oh, please.
Stop it.
Come on, would you get off the phone?
Serious inquiries only.
Knock it off. Hello, Tony.
Don and Mike.
Tony, buddy.
What's happening, my brother?
Hi, my friend.
Hey, I know what's happening next week. I got a friend who works on the set on The Sopranos.
Yeah, sure you do.
The episode.
Sure you do.
No, I do.
Sure.
Hey, it's nothing important, right?
Oh, well, that's an immediate disqualification. You can't...
Sure. Hey, it's nothing important.
Can't control your mouth.
Oh, I wanted to hear what was on the episode.
Oh, and I'm sure he really had the inside one. I'm sure that was David Chase's best friend calling us. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
Is Sopranos not the best show on TV or what? Come on.
There's nothing that touches it. I think we've established that.
Okay, and you got to, going back to last night's episode, even Carmella going into the lawyer's office.
Yes.
Yeah. Was that she's pulling weight, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Carmella flexing, being a gangster.
Flexing the Soprano muscle.
Sure. Yeah. And she's like, come on, I want you to do this for me. You're going to do it. You understand?
So she is so perfect with that. I mean, she does it just the right way. Even the lady that played, I'll go as far as say the lady that played the lawyer played that beautifully, too. It was terrific.
Oh, yeah. Great scene. Great show. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye-bye.
I thought he was going to say he was going to J-O in 20 seconds while watching The Sopranos.
Carm was looking pretty good last night.
Yes, she was. See, I think Carm has the Meadow problem. I believe Carm has gained a little weight just like Meadow has gained a little weight.
Oh, Meadow's
not what she was last year. Meadow's
ass is, like, yeah. Rob's ass is smaller than Meadow's ass.
I predict also Meadow's ass will go back in the other direction. I think the show is so hot, it's so popular, it's Hollywood, you know, they have a way of...
Someone needs to buy Meadow Soprano a feather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things you put down your throat after you eat so you throw up.
Oh, God.
Hello? Hello? Oh, Hans. Hold on. Hans.
Hi.
Hans, buddy.
I'm here.
Hi, Hans.
I can take a gold chain off somebody's neck and tie a bofa knot with my tongue.
And tie what?
A bofa neck.
A bofa what?
Bofa these nuts in your mouth.
That was so poorly executed.
That was great.
It might have worked if he had made himself clear early on.
Was that something about both of your nuts in my mouth?
Yeah.
Yes,
it was.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
So badly executed.
How you doing?
Hello, hi there.
Pretty good, pretty good. I'm calling about the what would you do for...
Hold on, time out. Let me point something out. We do not care, nor did we ask how you were doing.
Did you notice that?
I'm sorry, sir.
Sometimes people get excited when they call in and they actually will volunteer information that wasn't recorded.
You notice that we get annoyed when people ask us how we are doing,
mm-hmm.
because you can tell how we are doing simply by turning the radio on and gauging our moods.
Mm-hmm.
We, on the other hand, frankly, do not care how you are doing.
What, my God, what was that sound?
That's my dog.
What kind of dog you have?
Rottweiler.
Of course, right. So, now that we've established that you know how we're doing, yet we don't care how you're doing, what can we do for you?
Well, I would venture to tattoo both of your pictures on a part of my body of your choosing for $1,500.
It's a very, very long, lengthy procedure, but it certainly could be done, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of ink.
Yeah, I don't know, to have our faces tattooed on.
Remember how long it took just to have the lady put Sam Huff on that on her place?
Yeah, on her inner thigh. Mm-hmm. You have to come up with something a little easier.
Alrighty, no problem.
That's a tattoo that you're talking about hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, though.
No problem.
Bye-bye. Remember,
our hair alone would take 45 minutes.
Don't care how you're doing. Hello, Jim, buddy.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, my friend.
Hey, I will get my bunghole pierced for $1,500.
No, no thanks.
No, we'll pass on that one.
No, thank you. But wait till Homo Joe gets his own show.
No Homo Joe here.
That'll be, oh yeah, I guess yeah, not right. If you're going to have that done. Correct.
Right. You're going to have your butt pierced, but no homo.
I don't think you can, I mean, do men don't do that, do they? I don't know that anybody does.
I'd have to ask Homo Joe if that's done.
I would think that that is one part of the body where you really could not successfully
have a problem.
You couldn't.
I don't think so.
The risk of infection would be too great.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, how about you guys brush your teeth and I'll drink your spit?
Yeah, not for $1,500. No, that guy who said he would drink Dennis's water that his feet had been soaking in.
I think he's definitely taken the spot of consuming some sort of foul liquid.
Right.
Yeah, why not?
Come up with something else, my friend.
All right, Jamie, what's up, man?
All right, goodbye.
All right, listen, whatever. Goodbye.
I believe we're getting the highest common denominator out of our listening audience. Right,
Toya, keep those calls coming. Let you know when they come in. This weekend, I had some excitement this weekend. Friday night, went out with Frida, just the two of us.
You had your nice romantic dinner plan.
I don't mean to let any of you guys down, because I announced on Friday that I think I'm having a drinking problem.
Okay.
I only had one drink on Friday night.
Good for you.
And as it turns out, I didn't even have her drive me to the restaurant. I just drove myself.
Wow.
And had one drink before dinner. And
moderation is good.
So I don't mean to let you guys down. I'll work harder on becoming a problem drinker.
Yeah.
But I just had just the one on Friday night.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I picked up the slack for you.
And I thought we were having a great time until about three quarters of the way through the dinner when she just looked at me and she reached over and she touched my hand and she said, honey. And I said, yes. And she said, do you think we could talk about something besides you now? Because I guess for the entire first hour and a half we've been at the restaurant, it had been, me.
A lot going on.
Me.
Just got off work.
Quite a bit going on in your life.
Sure there was. So then, then I had to do that thing. Or I said, no, really? And really, tell me, what about you?
See, I would have thought you would have gone for the second martini at that juncture. Was it in the middle of dinner?
In the middle of dinner.
Okay, yeah. I understand.
Okay, so, I've already had my drink. I've already reached the result of having the drink.
Right.
I was already normal again.
Mm-hmm.
So then the rest of the dinner, that seemed to just
huge, but very strong. Was that when you began to focus on your food quite a bit?
Yes. You sound like you may have been in a similar situation. So we got home after we went out to dinner, just the two of us on Friday night, and Bart was at a dance at school, and he wanted to have a bunch of his friends spend the night on Friday night. So we got home, and all the kids came over, Bart and three friends. They got home about 11 o'clock. We put them all down in the basement, and we said, okay, now listen, the deal is, you guys, you got to be on your own best behavior now, that you can't stay up past, 1 o'clock in the morning.
That's generous.
It's got to be, 1 o'clock, lights out. And I made a big, bold threat. I said, I even waved my finger. I'm coming down at 1 o'clock. You guys better be sleeping. And they all nodded their heads and said, okay. Of course, 1 o'clock in the morning, I was dead asleep. I was asleep at 5 minutes after 11. 5 minutes after they arrived, I was asleep. Well, 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, this is enough to get your heart going. On Saturday morning, Friday night to Saturday morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, the alarm in the house goes off. And it's not the alarm like that there's a window open. It's the alarm that's... So I jump out of bed, I go into the closet, I get my baseball bat, which is my form of defense. I get a baseball bat, I go running out in the hallway in my underpants, and Frida, the alarm has gone off, the alarm has gone off. I go running out in the hallway, and all of a sudden from the basement here comes Bart. And he goes, oh, hi Dad, somebody accidentally tripped the alarm, we're sleeping, don't worry about it,
Go back to bed. Good night.
Which is basically his way of saying, we haven't been sleeping
right.
all night.
Now, keep in mind that this is a kid who it's impossible to rest in the morning.
Of course.
Okay? Even when his alarm clock goes off, and Fred and I go in and visibly shake him to
right.
get him to wake up in the morning. Yet, he came to the top of the stairs and
yeah.
said, hey, Dad, I'm sorry. Somebody set up the alarm, but everything's okay. So I went back to the bedroom, and I was still half asleep. I thought, you know what? Aren't they lying to me? It took me about 30 seconds to noodle it through. That's how asleep I was. So I put my robe on. I keep the baseball bat in my hand. And I go down the
there you go.
I go down the stairs, and I go down to the basement. And I hear...
With the bat.
Yeah. As I get to the basement, I hear them talking, and then when they hear my footsteps, all of a sudden I hear them being quiet. Okay? So I'm walking, I'm checking all the doors and the windows and stuff. And I get down to the bottom level, and I say, hey, what are you guys doing down here? I get four kids, the worst actors in the world. They're all 14, 15, same age as my son.
Well,
yeah, and this is what they did. W-H-A dot, dot, dot.
Wah.
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 Wah. Wah. We were, Dad, we were sleeping. I don't know what happened. So, I think Kyle's foot hit the thing that tripped the alarm, Dad. And, you know, I almost...
Probably just driven in from Georgetown.
I almost believed him.
Right.
No, as it turns out, we have things on the walls that, like, are sensors. If
right.
a glass is broken in their house,
yeah.
that it keys off...
Any of the infrared, right?
Right.
With all the lines,
yeah.
like an entrapment?
Correct.
Right.
So, anyway, there was this thing on the wall, and
right.
this one kid had accidentally kicked it. And I was just about to believe him. As I was leaving the room, though, I realized that we have a projection TV down in our basement.
Yeah.
And when you turn the TV off, the fan in the projection TV stays on for 15 minutes to cool it down. I turn it and I stop, and all of a sudden I hear, what is that sound? I go back in the room and I go, you boys, you're all sleeping, right? Oh, yes, yes. So what time did you go to bed? 1 a.m., just like you said. I said, that's interesting. Why is the fan on then from the projection? I said, if I go over and I put my hand on the video game, and if I go over and put my hand on the rack, will those things still be hot? Well, maybe, Dad, but we haven't played video games
yeah.
for 3 hours.
Maybe they'll be hot, but we weren't playing them.
Right. So I went over, and as I was getting towards the video system, that's when they finally said, okay, we were up. We've been up all night long.
Oh, my God.
Until 4 o'clock in the morning.
What time was their scheduled departure time?
9 a.m.
Oh, there's some lucky parents. You're going to have some happy campers.
9 a.m. So I went back upstairs. I said, listen, okay, listen, now, you all got to just shut up and go to sleep now.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents are going to kill me tomorrow. You know, you have to go to sleep now.
What can you do, though? I mean, you know, in all seriousness, I mean, you got to sometimes take their word for it.
There's absolutely nothing you can do about
it. I mean,
it.
When you pick him up at other kids' house, the same thing happens, right?
Right.
And overnight at that age, that's what's going to happen.
That's what they do. So I go back upstairs, and I lay down, and Freddie said, what was it? I said, oh, Kyle or Adam or Alex, somebody, they accidentally kicked the thing, and they've been up all night long, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and I think they're going to go to sleep now. Then I lay down, and I realized, hey, guess what? I'm now awake.
Right.
Now I can't go back to sleep.
At 4 a.m.
So I lay there for about 20 minutes. I rub Frida's shoulder and go, hey, I can't go back to sleep. I am sleeping. What do you want me to do about it? I said, I'm awake. It's 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning. I'm awake. Just leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back downstairs and checked. And sure enough, about 4:30, I opened the door.
They're out.
They're all absolutely
sure.
OUC, but I was totally awake.
So did you, I mean, were you awake for the rest of the...
Yeah, that's how I couldn't go back to sleep.
What time did you roust the young men?
I got them up at 9.
At 9?
Got them up at 9.
That had to be a somewhat pleasurable experience, I mean, based on the fact that they had, you know, disobeyed you and not gone away. I mean, because they were probably impossible to get up at that
hour. Yeah, no, it was great. When I opened up all the curtains, I said, hey... Good morning, boys. Time to get up. Up. Breakfast time. Did that thing. I pull all the covers back. Come on up. Your moms and dads are coming to get you. Come on. Get out of here. Let's go. Move it out. Keep it moving. Got them up. Got them cleaned out. Got all the kids off. And then Frida says to me that she wants to go to a craft show or something on Saturday.
Hey, lucky boy.
And I said, oh, honey, I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. She said, well, we have to go. I said, no. So we ended up compromising. I took her to the mall so she could buy some stuff, but then I didn't go to the craft show. Then Saturday night, about 8 o'clock on Saturday night,
I'm dead. That's it.
Of course.
I mean, I fell asleep. I fell asleep in a chair at 8 o'clock on Saturday night.
Got up 4 a.m. on Sunday, and now you're in that routine again.
And then on Sunday, I decided I'm going to be a man again. I'm going to get under the car.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a problem with my windshield washer fluid, that there's a leak in the windshield washer unit, the plastic unit.
Mm-hmm.
And you pour the stuff into this tube when you lift the hood up, and then it's dripping out the bottom of the car.
So you can fix that. You got a bitchin' set of tools.
Well, I did, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact.
Did you fix that headlight?
No, not yet. I got my car back up on those ramps.
Right.
I got that thing that I roll under my back on and went under there and actually took out the entire unit, went over to the auto store, said, I need one of these babies.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me one of those babies, brought it back home, jerry-rigged it up in there.
Right.
It's not in there quite exactly as good as it was when I bought the car. But it doesn't leak anymore, and now the little light doesn't go off saying, add washer fluid.
You know, you're taking a brand new car. Is any of this stuff under warranty that you could get, or do you care?
No, I don't care.
You got your ramps, you want to fix it. I mean, you got a relatively brand new car that's going to look like the Munster Mobile.
It's all under warranty, but listen to what I'm doing now.
Right.
This is a project for next weekend. I'm going to install brake pads.
You're going to put new brake pads
on my car. I bought a book.
Oh, jeez.
I bought a book on Volvo repair.
Now, have you always harbored this interest
no.
in working on your own vehicle?
No, I never knew I could get underneath the car.
It's all about the ramps.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
It's the ramps and that rolling thing that you lay on your back and roll under the car.
You are turning into goober pile.
Yes.
That's what it is.
I love rolling under the car. I love having all the tools spread out.
Yeah.
I love taking the stuff apart. And I
you
actually
put a lift kit on it, you know, jack it up and stuff like that.
I actually took one of the brake pads off
right
on Sunday and saw that it's nearly down to metal on metal. So I need brake pads.
That's cool. Do you know what a brake pad that's worn out is supposed to look like?
No, I had to look in the book.
But the book told you that.
The book said that it should have this stuff here, and then when you put your foot on the brake, if you hear a
right.
which I hear, mm-hmm. that means metal on metal, meaning that the brake pad itself is worn down.
That's very cool.
So I would have done it yesterday.
I mean, I can understand the washer fluid. I can understand the headlight when you're doing that. But don't you think that a brake, when you're working on the brake, the primary safety device in your automobile, you ought to put that in the hands of an expert?
I want to try. I just want to try. I've never done this before.
Like if you go down the hill near your house after you get the job finished and you push the brakes and it goes right down to the floor with literally nothing happening because you put them on incorrectly, you know.
That is a chance.
Do one at a time is what you ought to do.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll take a chance with
it. Of course, the way that would work, that you do one at a time and, you know, there'd be the last brake that's stopping your car. Same exact thing would happen. You know, you'd get, let me try it now with all of them fixed. And nothing works.
Well, I'll let you know. Next weekend is the time. I would have done it yesterday. Except
there's always the emergency brake.
I couldn't find the brake pads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the emergency brake. I have no idea how that works. Absolutely no idea.
You know, I know what I'm going to get you, though, for your birthday. I'll get you one of those things they have at Price Club. They sell them now. Those big cranes. You know, those cranes on wheels that they have with the big metal hook that comes down. You know what it's for?
I'd love it.
It's for lifting your entire engine.
I'd love it.
Out of the car.
I'd love it. I would never use it.
I'll get it for you.
I'd never use it, but I'd love it just to have it.
It would look good in the garage.
And that's what this is all about now.
I think you can hang a deer from it, too, but I'm not sure.
I think really the whole thing of me with this on this car kick is the fact that I am such a pussy, and everybody knows I'm such a pussy, and I'm not good with mechanical stuff, and I'm not good with cars. But all weekend, every time I would roll under that car and have all the tools spread out and I do all that work, I was just dying for my neighbors to come over.
Yeah.
Just dying for them to come over. And I finally got one neighbor came down.
Right.
And I rolled out from under the car. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, you're just looking like the Macho Man working on his car.
He says, what are you doing under there? I said, I'm just, fixing my windshield washer and gonna install some brake pads.
So you go down the street, the car will not be braking properly. You'll have to stop, 30 feet in front of the stoplight. Then when you give somebody the high beams, it shoots up to the moon, and then as soon as you get dirt on your windshield, you hit the wiper thing and it goes straight out, soaking anyone that's in front of you. You know, a buddy of mine,
but I've done it all myself.
The most fun I ever had in high school, a buddy of mine had a Toyota pickup, and one of the real early Toyota pickups. And his wiper thing was loose,
so we could take the stream and we could turn it around front, and you know, it's that tiny little pin stream that
right.
you can't see. And we would, on Friday night, we would go down to the local movie theater where there was a line, and we'd drive by and we'd angle the thing and hit the wiper fluid and watch the people react. And it took them 3 or 4 times before they realized that we were doing this to them, and we would do it every single weekend.
See?
It was fantastic.
Working on the car is fun.
So you ought to check your little thing and see if it, they don't make them like that anymore, do they? Do you have the thing that comes out? It's a little nozzle?
It's a little nub.
Or is it built into the wiper?
It's a little nub that's in the middle of the console, and it has two little eyes.
Okay, yeah.
In which mm-hmm. the goose spurts out
so
of.
So maybe if you, like, loosen that thing, you could do the same thing. I mean, it's, you don't have to be in high school to enjoy this. You can turn it around, and you can put anything in the wiper fluid container.
You know, like what?
Like jizz?
I mean, to keep going on a topic?
No, because then it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't do it that way. It has to be a liquid. It has to be liquidy consistency.
Okay. All right,
it can't be like hand lotion or anything like that. Dennis Murphy's foot soak.
I just want to announce that I'm now an official car guy.
I think that's terrific.
I'm into it.
Exactly. Is that why you're wearing, that's kind of like a car repair shirt that you're wearing today.
Oh, no, I'm wearing a stupid Hawaiian shirt today.
But, I mean, it has that kind of look to it.
I told Frieda to buy me some overalls. Buy me some coveralls.
The whole coveralls.
That I want coveralls. I mean, I don't want overalls like Junior Samples wore, but I want coveralls. I want the coveralls where I can put my tools in there and
right.
stuff. And I
got the next step.
My oily rag in my back pocket.
The next step is you build a separate facility for just for auto repair. You build your own garage.
Let me see how the brake pads go first.
Is the garage rapidly becoming your domain now?
It's all cleaned out with all my junk in there now.
That's good.
It used to be just the place where we put all of like our baseball stuff mm-hmm. and trash and junk. Now mm-hmm. half the garage is out there with my stuff.
I'll get you one of those little Coca-Cola refrigerators, you know, that has the Coca-Cola on it, and you keep your pop out there, your soda.
Yeah.
Just go in there, you know, like working in the garage.
Right. Buy me that hook. Buy me that Coca-Cola thing. Buy me some coveralls.
Get your calendar, you know, like a semi-nude. Can't be totally nude.
And
has to be a, you know, semi-nude lady.
I already got it covered. The G. Gordon Liddy stack and pack calendar.
That's it. That works.
got it in there.
Fantastic.
Well, we went to the movies this weekend. We went to the Gary Shandling movie. And I was so disappointed to see that the Gary Shandling movie did not even make the top 10 box office this
right.
weekend.
That's the one that Charlie said sucked.
I liked it. A shocker that I disagree with Charlie Stossel. I liked it, and I bet you would like it, too. It's not a ha-ha funny movie.
But it's interesting. Interesting plot.
There's not a real laugh in the whole movie. But as the movie's going along, it's almost like watching Gary Shandling on TV.
Okay.
When you're watching the movie, I caught myself thinking, this is a damn funny idea mm-hmm. for a movie. Now, the execution...
wasn't too hot.
It's not that funny. But every once in a while, Gary Shandling would do something that was mildly amusing, because, you know, right. he plays a guy from another planet.
Is right. he too dry? Is that what it is? Because I think sometimes he's just too dry for his own good. He's just so underplayed, and you know what I mean? He's just a little too... And sometimes, when you're not Larry Sanders, you got to break out of that mold.
Well, they're all like that. The guy who's the leader of his planet, Gandhi...
Is a mellow guy,
Ben,
too.
Ben Kingsley, he's the same way.
That's not bad casting.
And the whole planet is made up of guys like Gary Shandling, who all wear these black Nehru jackets.
Right.
There's like a million of them, and none of them have penises.
What would you give it on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'd give it a 7.
Really?
I thought it was really, really good. And the great thing is that because nobody likes Gary Shandling, there's only like 4 people in the theater.
That's sad. Well, I'm surprised that the movie didn't do better than that.
So it was fantastic. Really loved it. It was one last thing. We have to do a break, and I said, we have people standing by to tell us what they do for the money. I got a call this weekend. Actually, he called on Friday, and I didn't get to speak to him until Saturday. My friend Joe Trione, mm-hmm. the guy who knew Andy Kaufman, who knew Bob Zemuda.
Yeah.
Right. Remember we were going through that whole Andy Kaufman thing?
Right.
Well, Joe Trione was in town on Friday, called me on Saturday. I'll be getting together with him later for something personal, but he extended an invitation for you and I
yes.
to go to Comic Relief in July in cool. Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Now, at first I said, well, you know, no offense, we're not really big supporters of Comic Relief. Pretty much, we always come on the weekend after Comic Relief and talk about how it's not very funny.
Right, right.
He said that Bob Zemuda is going to dress up as Tony Clifton.
Oh, really?
And go from nightclub to nightclub in Las Vegas the night before Comic Relief.
Which will be the real show.
Yeah, and want to know if we wanted to just tag along.
Oh, that'd be a lot of fun.
To go with him.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
So I said, sure.
Oh, that'd be incredible.
I said, yes, absolutely.
That is very cool.
So that would be... That would
because
be...
that's the funniest part of that whole Kaufman thing. I mean, that's come out of that. It's another movie that people, you know, really.
Nobody liked that movie.
Nobody wanted to see that.
The Andy Kaufman movie. Absolutely not. So just in case Joe's still in the area, I just want to tell you hello. Miss talking to you. And yes, Mike and I would love to come to Las Vegas to be in Tony Clifton's posse.
Absolutely.
Okay? So that's it. That's my weekend. Oh, and NASCAR. You know, I want to say something about NASCAR, because I'm trying to get in to watch NASCAR.
Well, it's Pitts now with your, you know, you're becoming a gearhead is what you are.
I'm trying to watch it, and they had the Las Vegas 400 this weekend. And I just got this to say about NASCAR. What a bunch of pussies they are. That it starts to rain, and I mean, it's not pouring rain, it is lightly raining.
They can't.
They stop the rain.
Of right. course they do.
Now listen, what heightens the excitement more?
Well, that's a guarantee.
Than guys going 200 miles an hour in the rain.
With their racing, there's a reason they call them, they're racing slicks. You know
well,
I mean?
that sucks.
There's no tire tread, you know.
It sucks. That way you find out who really the best driver is.
And a little bit of water and a little bit of oil on the roadway, and it's like ice out
so
there.
So they do go through 20 laps, right. and it's just very light rain, just a tinkling of rain. They put out the red flag.
Those are wusses.
And they stop all the cars. All 40 cars just stop, and they come out with these big covers. And they put the covers on the cars, and then the drivers are walking around just, you know, thumbs up their asses, drinking Gatorade, talking to each other. I cannot be a fan of a sport that does not go in rain.
They don't always do that, do they? Or do they? Is it routine that they always do that?
I think any time they use the racing slick tires, yeah, they have to, because, like I said, it's like ice with a little bit of oil, a little water, and no tread on the tires.
Make it damned exciting to watch those guys. And I'm not talking about a downpour.
Right.
It was not a steady rain.
It was spitting.
Much like Bill Cosby's Fat Albert. It was just a light spittle of rain.
I think that's what it's all about. I agree. They're big wusses. They should have all risked their lives for your entertainment.
Well, they should have. It was ridiculous. They're supposed to go 400 miles. I think they ended up going like 36 miles, and then they declared this guy the winner. This guy who won around the track like 8 times, he's the winner. He gets $1 million.
He was the one that was down in the tunnel going, hey,
I can't be a fan of a sport where they don't participate. I mean, even in baseball, they wait until it is lightning and an absolute downpour to call a game. And even then, they don't call it. Mm-hmm. They just have all the guys sit around and wait.
Well, they wait hours in some cases.
Right. They waited maybe 20 minutes yesterday. And they said, that's it. No race today.
I think they could solve that problem by giving you can't be a NASCAR driver unless you got some kind of appreciable talent so that they can perform for people when they're not racing.
This guy who went around 20 times, he's the winner. Thank you. Goodbye, everybody. Sucked. Just sucked. I cannot support that.
But it didn't prevent you from getting out of your car and getting your fingers dirty.
No, it didn't. You wait till next weekend.
You're going to change the brake pad.
Brake pad time,
baby. That's right. Join us, a week from today when we're doing the memorial service for you going in directly into the pole. Hey, you know, they'll work fine on the back roads. When you hit the big open highway, get the car up to about 70, then you're just going to tap them and you go into a tailspin.
You know, my wife has the same fear that you do about me. Not so much the fact that I'm trying to fix the car.
Well, I mean, fixing the car is one thing. Brake pads are a totally different
Not story. Even that. She's convinced that the car is going to crush me.
Yeah, well, I told you that, too.
I know you did.
Because you're going to go up on that, and you're not going to necessarily have it set properly. It's not like a jack. You know, this is something where you have to balance the car up there. And
I got it set.
You know what you're doing.
Been two weekends in a row now I've done it.
Okay. The car, if it came down, like, where you are, would it...
I would be crushed.
You'd be cut in two?
I would be crushed.
Oh, God.
The front end of the car would come right between my knees and my belly button.
You know, if the brake pad thing goes well, though, maybe it's time to build your own automobile. from junk parts, and then take it racing. Didn't somebody offer you a racing gig that they wanted to take you to the speedway?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Joe Ardinger has a friend who said some guy in some like low level NASCAR cousin wannabe thing said I could drive the car. That the car goes like 180 miles an hour.
Absolutely,
they offered me the chance to drive a race car.
Well, that I think that's fantastic.
I said absolutely, I'd do it. Tape it for the show.
Man, and then we can then maybe bump. You know, you got the skydiving, bungee jumping, driving the race car. Got the jet skis. You know, going under low bridges. Just keep going. You know, maybe next time we fly to L.A., you just get out on the wing. It'll work.
You remember everything, don't you?
I do.
All of
your death wish items.
You've got a good memory.
Just give me a bottle of whiskey and a golf club. I'm happy.
All right, hold on, please. Let's break, and when we come back, I see we have a guy who says he will snap a mousetrap on his penis.
Oh, God.
A guy who says, I don't want the guy who says he will drink his own fluid.
No.
We don't want that, right?
No, it's right. First of all, you know, I know it sounds good when you first hear it.
Sure.
But no, they're old ideas. You know, too much of that, I'll drink this, I'll drink. Somebody come up with something clever. That's what we're looking for.
All right, before we break, let's talk to the guy who says he'll snap a mousetrap on his penis.
Okay.
Hello, Ben.
Yeah.
You're serious about this?
Serious.
Didn't we have a guy do it on his tongue?
Yeah, we did, but there's a big difference between your tongue and
that's
your penis.
Wimp.
Oh, yeah. Well, not always. All right.
You would pull down your pants and snap a mousetrap on your penis?
Aroused. Not you know, flaccid.
No.
Tired of the guys. How many guys? This is like the fifth guy that's going to come in a state of turgidity.
We want to show you.
We don't want to see anybody's photo. I mean, we have enough problems seeing your thing as is.
Yeah. I don't want to see a guy turgid.
No, that's a great idea if you want to do it as Mr. Softy.
It concerns me. A guy can get himself revved up in here with us, too.
Yeah, that's scary.
No, well, I'd bring some visual aids.
No. Then we get into the whole J.O. thing again. No, thank you.
I'm not going to J.O. with it.
I'll tell you right now, though.
You've
got to
flex the muscle so it doesn't snap off.
Right. If you were fully turgid, too, and you did it with a mousetrap, we might have a real, like, a horrible accident.
Yeah, I think you'd be safer if you did it as Mr. Soft.
Yeah, let me bring you back to something about Mary. We got a bleeder!
Yeah, right. I mean, that thing...
But that's because it was flaccid.
No, that thing snaps when you're aroused and...
Yeah.
Man, the next thing you know, we got... Blood and jizz. It's raining human.
It looks like that little thing that kids used to play with in the yard.
The water weasel.
The water weasel. Yeah.
The water wiggle. Is that what it was?
That's it. By Whammo.
It wouldn't be water, though.
All right, Ben, no. If you decide that you'd like to do it in a flaccid state, give us a call.
Okay.
All right, goodbye.
How disappointed he is. Donna Mike said I can't come down fully aroused and snap a mousetrap on my thing.
We'll get more calls in right after this. Toe tapping touch tone first. This is just for a prize. We're not doing a big money contest yet.
Okay.
Be the 100th person to call Toya right now. We'll give you a prize. Phone number 877-365-3636. Be caller 100 right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show. It's called The Riddle of the Tale. Don and Mike.
Hey, look at our caller 100. And they get these phones hopping again. All right. Devote some more time to Ellen DeGeneres' breasts.
I'm dying to see that now.
They're really pretty. That's the word I'd use to describe them.
Pretty breasts.
Pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hey, buddy, who's this?
Caller 100, I hope.
Yes, right. What's your name?
It's Court.
Where are you calling from?
From Leesburg, Virginia.
You are caller 100. You have won the NutriHeaven prize pack from 7-Eleven.
All right.
Try the new Orange Power Fruit Cooler, new Slim Fast Cooler, and other healthy 7-Eleven products.
No preservatives in there.
Right. You know, it's not often that you put the word 7-Eleven and healthy in the same sentence.
I know, but I think it's loaded with health food.
Although we've managed to do it. Thank you. Hold on, please. Turn your goddamn radio down.
You hear Nutra and you think healthy.
Sure, of course. The idea is where they use
Slim Jim in a bottle.
Nutra Slim Jim.
At 7-Eleven.
Yum, yum.
I sometimes stop by the 7-Eleven in the morning when I'm coming back from carpool.
Right.
About 8:15, if I want to stop and pick up a newspaper on my way home from taking my kid and the other kids to school. And it is the worst between 8 and 9 in the morning. I'm sure it's this way universally, where there are construction guys.
Yes.
Who I guess these guys, because they're on the go all the time, they eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
And it's either the construction guys that have been at it since the crack of dawn, literally, like 5 o'clock.
Right.
Or, and this is the worst case scenario, it's your slacker construction guys. It's your guys that are in there between 8 and 9 are the guys that just aren't going to be on the job until like 9:30, 10 o'clock. Those are your slackers.
Well, I stopped in this morning to pick up, the USA Today, New York Post, New York Daily News, all the newspapers. I'm waiting in line, and there are guys in front of me, and it is like they are at the goddamn Palm restaurant.
Sure, it's breakfast.
Making the decisions where they go, you know what, I would like the sausage roll. No. I had that yesterday. I would like the egg roll.
Right.
And I would like the piece of pizza. And I would like
a fried chicken, please.
Mm-hmm. And that's the best part of starting any day is to have that exact breakfast. Sausage roll, pizza, and the fried chicken.
And you've got the guy, Abu, who's working behind the counter, who's barely managed the language as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know he's always wrong giving you the change back.
Yep.
And he is strapped. He doesn't know. He's not qualified to go back to that big slimy thing where the pizza's going round and round.
And you see the hot dogs that have just been put on, and then the hot dogs that have will never be eaten. That have been there probably since January 1.
Hot dog that looks like you could say this is the penis of a burn victim. they had the one on there. The big bite. Sausage big bite.
And for some reason, what it is you're dealing with three or four hot dogs that are on the back of that machine that for about the last 5 hours people are saying when he reaches for them, no, get the other one.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
So they die a slow death because he doesn't take them off and throw them away. He just leaves them on there to cook and re-cook and re-cook.
Somebody eventually will come in and claim them.
Mm-hmm.
And I always feel nice knowing that he's handling money.
Right.
That he's touching food.
Right. Sure.
That's a nice circle to be in. Touch the money.
Right.
Touch the food. Mm-hmm. Touch the money. Touch the food.
And then, occasionally he goes money to food, food to money to nose.
Oh, no.
I mean, it does.
Scratch.
You're itchy when you're working around all those germs and dust.
You sure are. But it was like a 20-minute wait this morning at 7-Eleven because these guys are so particular.
Right.
About exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And who knew that they had such a variety of stuff? They have these roll-up things. They look like big poops that are. That's what they're shaped like, and they have a dough outside,
right.
And inside they have like. Eggs?
Oh, good.
Cat.
Pure cat meat.
Here is food expert Rob Spiegel.
Don't partake of them, of course, but they're Kraft bakery sticks.
Really? What's inside of them?
Oh, you can get any filling you like. I believe they have pepperoni pizza, ham and cheese, or hamburger.
And notice he's saying don't eat them. Like he hasn't wrapped his tonsils or
anything. Never have.
But how come you're saying, I will tell you, I know you have been dieting religiously.
I'm aware of the merchandise.
You love food, too.
I come from a family of merchants, and I keep an eye on what goes on.
I'm just telling you, it's annoying. Itself, they should have one counter in 7-Eleven for guys who are really like buying meals, and another counter for guys who are just like buying sodas and coffee and newspapers and stuff.
Yeah, it would make things. And then, of course, you've got your gamblers that are there also early in the morning. The people that are going to get the tickets.
Well, at least that is a separate area.
Right.
But a lot of times that's a pain in the ass, too.
Because it's not known as a separate area to the person working behind the counter, the person who just gets confused.
One guy behind the counter who doesn't realize that, you should really focus on the paying customers first and, the lotto junkies second.
Right. I think they ought to give away those. There ought to be a code at the 7-Eleven where they give away those dogs on the rotisserie at a certain point where they just decide, instead of trying to sell them because they're not going to sell, you say to the next person in line, hey, would you like an extra one?
Those dogs get dry and shriveled enough, they become Slim Jims, and then they sell them that way.
Yeah, but, why should they give them away? Because eventually, someone will buy them.
Mm.
If not some construction worker, some drugged-out kid will come in at 3 o'clock in the morning with the munchies.
That one looks good.
Yeah, right. They'll eat anything at 7-Eleven.
Where do they get their bakery goods? And why are they always, why even if you're there, if they're coming off a truck or something, first thing in the morning, are they still old? You know what I mean? I mean, the baked goods at 7-Eleven, the donuts, the little crullers, the bear claws, are always...
The bear claws. I don't know any of these things by name. What is a cruller and what is a bear claw?
A cruller and a cruller is what we back home call a bear claw. It's a similar type of
thing. What is a bear claw?
A bear claw and a cruller... And I'm not going to say bear claw because I don't know bear claw. I know from cruller, I don't know.
Okay, what is a cruller, though?
A cruller is a donut that's long, basically. It's not a real
donut.
Like an
eclair?
No, it's not an eclair. It's a donut that is just like a long donut, and we used to get crullers all the time. Crullers were... They're just not circled with a hole in them. They're a long piece of dough.
So it's like if you took a donut and instead of making it a circle, you just stretch it out.
You just kind of stretch it, kind of curl it around a little bit and, make it nice. And, they have them. They have them in these places, crullers.
Crullers.
Next to cinnamon rolls and stuff. But at 7-Eleven, there's a quality of product that just seems like they've been trucked too long. They've been in the back of a truck for too long. And I don't like that. I wish that. But, of course, you can't. expect the people that work there to perhaps bake some products themselves. They're far too busy. Of my course. God, you know, just
they are lucky that they can get on their camels and get to 7-Eleven in time to open the store up in the morning.
They have to be very, very careful. You know, and in many cases, overnight, if you're working, you know, my God, you're taking your life in your own hands.
Hello, JJ. JJ, are you there, JJ? Double J.
Now we're going to get a call for some irate guy that delivers the baked goods.
No, this is a guy who's calling for the what would you do for $1,500 contest.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What would you do, JJ?
I'll put 4 mousetraps on the Limpy.
4 mousetraps on your Limpy?
Yeah.
Another guy, but see, it's not an original idea.
Yeah, but I wouldn't mind it.
Would you do it like a 4?
If you wanted somebody to do it self, man, here I am.
You put 4 of them on your Limpy?
Well, as many as I can fit, man.
Well, how big is your Limpy?
Not very.
Not very?
Not about, very. How are you going to get 4? How are you going to get 4 on there?
I don't know. Squeeze them on there.
Exactly.
Well, no. You know,
whatever it takes.
To actually go by the rule of the law, the way that this was explained to me, you would have to put your Limpy on the...
On top of the piece of cheese.
Yeah, right on the mousetrap, and then you'd have to snap it. It would actually have to snap on your Limpy.
Put a mic right by it.
What, I mean, have you tried this before?
Nah, but, you know, I do, you know, whatever.
I know, but whatever.
You said you wanted somebody to do it, Lance. Here I am.
So the prospect of a severed penis does not necessarily bother you?
Sever. I mean, it's thick, you know, so it ain't going to sever it. I'm not worried about that. I'm not getting the industrial size, you know.
Well, no, it has to be.
You're not getting a rat trap.
It has to
just
be
a little mouse trap.
A standard mouse trap.
Yeah.
Though. All right, then you're in. You're in. Hold on, JJ.
All right, right on.
Hold on, and you don't have to do 4. 1 would be fine.
One
sure?
would be fine. Yeah, one.
Bring a whole 6-pack in.
No, 1 is fine.
I told you it would work. If memory serves me, we did have a guy do it on his tongue, and it is possible to do it without a great deal of carnage.
Because that guy did not snap his tongue in half when he put it on his tongue.
Yeah, we were all like, oh my God, and I actually was surprised that it, you know, the pliability of the tongue, and I would imagine the pliability of the flaccid penis also would, you know, would cushion the effect, I would think.
I just like to point out, this contest is not just for boys.
Yeah. Right.
But I hope we get some people calling, besides horny guys, mm-hmm. who want to do things with their Johnson.
That's right.
Hello, Jim.
Yo.
I'll tell you right now, we're going to turn you down, but go ahead. What would you like to do?
You're going to turn me down? Well, my idea was I would give myself a facial with dog feces.
I don't think so.
I don't think I want to see that.
Can I say one more thing?
Nope. No. That's always a clue.
Yeah.
To say goodbye when a guy says, can I say one more
thing? For you young broadcasters, when taking a call from the man who wants to rub dog feces on his face, don't allow him one further point.
Hello, Malcolm.
Hey, you fat acid.
Hey, you son of a bitch.
Hey, listen, there's a real shocker for you on the 7-Eleven food. The same people who bring you 7-Eleven food is American Airlines. It's part of their distribution chain. So when you're wondering what you're eating on the airline,
that's no shocking.
You get 7-Eleven.
You've never eaten airplane food.
Yeah, exactly. It's probably the stuff that they scrape off the plates on the airline.
I'll tell you, I many times have been on airliners, and I'd prefer if somebody gave me like a little 7-Eleven brochure to take what's in a 7-Eleven as opposed to, you know, what they're bringing out on a tray. I'd go with the 7-Eleven food.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, Don, who are these people snapping mouse traps on their penises? My God, you guys better have an EMT or an ambulance standing
well,
by.
Well, I'll tell you right now that we do have standards and practices.
Who are these people?
Who are these people?
And we run everything by them, you know, and their team of medical experts.
Yes. But being as a guy's already snapped a mouse trap on his tongue,
right.
I think as long as he signs the waiver, he could snap it on his thing.
I would think so.
As far as a guy coming down here and putting dog poo on his face. I'm not even going to run that by.
No.
By the other people out there.
That's not pleasant.
I'll bet you there's a website for these guys. They probably got www.
I bet you it's www.jeremycoleman.com.
That's what I'll bet you.
It's for the dog poop facial.
That's right. That would only be special if the dog actually produced while the guy was here in the studio.
So listen, let's talk about Jeremy for a second.
Okay.
Let's talk about Jeremy and Ken.
As he gets ready with his outfit to run with the bulls. Jeremy is wearing a Pamplona, Spain Run with the Bulls outfit today.
Jeremy today has on white painter's pants and a white shirt.
And white shoes, like white sneakers.
And I think he's got like a white shirt. He's just stepped out of the Music Man or something like that.
He's got a white shirt on with a white T-shirt underneath it.
And he and Ken came into the office today.
I said, there's trouble right here in River City.
And I'm casting no aspersions, but I'm telling you the gut feeling I had when they walked in the door
right.
is that they just had sex with each other.
Yes, yes, definitely.
When Ken and Jeremy came into the office today, the two of them, the general manager and the program director,
they were just too happy.
You know, they've gone shopping together.
Yes, they have.
And come back with the same euphoria.
They're just bouncing off the walls.
Happy, almost giddy. Yeah, that's the word I would use to describe them. Giddy.
And I want both of them to know that we're not comfortable with it at all.
Let's call Ken.
Just too happy.
See what they did today.
Like, what did they do? Well, we had a long lunch, took a walk down by the park.
The number's busy, probably talking to each other.
You know, he's just probably going to the restaurant, see them, you know, eating off each other's plate. Feeding each other.
No, doing that thing where you drink the wine, where you tangle the arms.
Sure, hook the arms around.
Feeding each other.
Conversation's going something like, this is a delicious lunch, but I just wish we could go to a lunch place that had dancing.
I'm telling you, these two guys...
Are both their lines busy?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, and they have offices right next door to each other, and they're talking to each other. How was lunch? Oh, I loved mine. How was yours? Oh, it was delicious.
Are we taking the shuttle up to New York tonight?
Of course.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. I mean, if they're not in love with each other, somebody's going to have to give me proof to the opposite because,
right?
You know, I mean, I've gone to plenty of lunches with Mike. I have no better friend in the world than Mike. But we go to lunch, we share some laughs.
Yes.
But when we come in,
right.
we don't have that
glow.
That just been effed look.
No, no. If anything, you're coming. It's the opposite because you're coming back to work.
Right,
right. Why are they so glowing and happy?
Full of food.
You know, just laughing like you know, let's say, hey, okay. Great to have you out in New York.
Yeah, they're laughing about how crappy the station in New York is doing.
Right.
Oh. They're laughing. They're laughing. It said that the ratings came in last week for the station in New York.
Right. Sure.
And that outside of the Opie and Anthony show, the station has no ratings.
Right.
And we said, well, what do they have in the morning? And they said a 0.3, which means 0.3%, which means the station didn't even show in the ratings. And they were laughing about it.
It's like, we had the best darn lunch. Or maybe they went shopping. We have to find this out.
Yeah. Hello, Sean.
Yes.
Sean, what would you do for $1,500?
I would shave Don and Mike's show around my head, keep it there for 30 days.
Not thick enough, Sean.
Not big enough. I got a big head.
No, not thick enough. I don't think that's enough.
It's not.
No.
Besides,
how are we supposed to be able to tell if you keep it for 30 days?
Well, it wouldn't matter if he kept it for 30 days. I mean, if you're going to shave something in there, you keep it as long as until the hair grows back.
Or he could just go get his head shaved.
Right.
Actually, I can come over there once a week to make sure that I got it. How's that?
You want to shave our names into your head?
Sure.
Do you have a big bushy head of hair?
Most places, yeah.
Most places? Mike asked about your hair, your head.
I know.
I'm
a little thin on top.
Oh, thin on top.
A little bit.
A little bit thin on top.
Mm. All right. Well, if you'd like him to, we can let him in.
I mean, yeah. I mean, fine. I think, you know, why not? But he's going to have the... You can't do it like with regular shears, I don't think. You're going to have those specialty shears to do it right. You better consult. Make sure it's done properly.
You might have to get like
we really can see our name.
Yeah, you might have to get like a barber from Southwest. Because,
right.
You know,
I could do that.
Every once in a while, you see like a guy in the NBA who's got something carved in the back of his head.
Right. Yeah, bring an expert, bud.
Who is it? Ken.
Hold on, Sean. Ken Stevens is on the telephone.
All right, very good.
Hold on. Our general manager. Our general manager in New York is on the phone.
Hey, hello there, Ken.
Hi, Ken.
I like the sound of that. I'm not retired yet.
He's still laughing. He's still giddy after his lunch.
Hey, our regular listeners know just what a sour son of a bitch Ken is. And listen how happy he is. Now, can you explain to us and to everybody listening why you're so happy when you come back from lunch with Jeremy?
I don't actually understand that question. I mean,
No, we're just getting suspicious. We just
are you suggesting I'm drinking at lunch.
No, not at all.
Maybe
that was
drinking something.
We just find it that you two kids came back from your lunch today positively giddy. We were observing giddy behavior.
And he's always like that. But you are normally
very. It's like the Grim Reaper coming into the office. You know, and today you were practically bouncing off the walls.
Your body language was very loose. You were laughing. You were smiling. You were almost giddy.
And, you know, we were wondering whether you guys were out there having a romp or something. But, I mean, it was just euphoria was about... Even everything you were talking about would be punctuated by smiles and laughter and giggling.
Did you go to lunch with Jeremy today?
Yeah, but I swear I don't remember being that happy.
Where'd you go to lunch? Your sushi place?
Yeah, we got a lot done. I mean, I felt pretty good that we solved a lot of the world's problems at lunch. But
did you guys go shopping afterwards?
No.
Okay.
What do you mean?
Well, no, I mean, didn't one time
do you remember that time you guys went to Staples together? And when you came back, you had the same...
You both walked in carrying shopping bags?
You had the same... You had that euphoric glow about
you. We all got new yellow pads. We were thrilled that day.
Yes,
well, you guys were happy that day.
I remember that. Yeah.
Remember that? You got the yellow notepads and then the little little plastic license plate. One said Ken, one said Jeremy.
So the idea is anytime I appear to be happy to you, that's...
We are suspicious. We're suspicious.
It borders on giddiness, I guess.
Well, you know, frankly, we're not used to seeing you smile as loose as you were today, and it was a combination of when you came down the hall with Jeremy, we heard you guys laughing.
Just kind of smiling and laughing, and you can understand, Ken, after our working relationship, we've been working together for years, we just don't trust it.
I see.
We're just wondering...
Well, we had a great lunch, it was very productive, we got a lot of work done, and I was happy.
Yeah. What did you think of Jeremy's outfit today, his ice cream truck driver out.
We were speculating that he might be running with the bulls in Pamplona, Spain after he leaves.
Yeah, I was going to ask him because it's usually all black. Today it was all white.
Yes, very very unusual for him.
Maybe there's an occasion.
Yeah, give him a little black beret and he could start his own Picasso studio.
So for the record, you were not at the Breezeway Motel with Jeremy.
The what?
The Breezeway. It's just down the street.
Oh, up there on the,
No.
You weren't at the Breezeway?
No, I promise. I went right to the sushi place and right back to the office.
Okay. All right, just remember, next time you're giddy, we don't trust it.
Okay.
All right.
We're much more used to you being in a foul mood.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm back to being in a foul mood. I mean, I've been back from lunch for a couple of hours now, so.
Right. Even now
you
sound...
When you see me in the hall, I'm back to my regular self.
Buzz, you're an outside observer.
All right, fair enough.
Doesn't he sound happier now than he normally does?
He sounds much happier today, right now, in this conversation, than he ever sounds.
Let me play everybody listening a tape of the Ken that we normally know. Here's a brief 2-second clip of one of Ken's prior appearances on our show.
I'm not!
There we go.
That's the Ken.
That's the Ken. And, I know you would say, well, don't you like it when he's happy? No, we don't. We like it. When Ken is happy, like he is right now, when he's borderline laughing and giggling, it makes me feel like a tsunami is going to come and hit the building or
scary.
Something like that.
It's just, there it is. We've identified it. It's dangerous when Ken Stevens is happy.
Yeah, go work on getting more depressed, Ken.
I am on the case.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Now he's going to hang up the phone going, Jeremy.
I think he might be on to us.
That's right.
How did they know about the Breezeway?
Jeremy comes running in a matador outfit.
Olay! Can't put his fingers up your like bull's horn.
Toro! Toro! Oh my goodness.
Olay!
It's very disconcerting.
Yeah. Hi, Donna Mike.
Yes, hello, Valerie.
I love you guys so much.
Oh no, we love you more, Valerie.
But you gotta promise to let us know for sure if you're gonna mess with those brakes, because if you are, you have to stay in D.C., otherwise I'm going to be dodging every Volvo I see.
Honey, I am doing that next weekend. Next Sunday, I'm going to be installing new brake pads on my car.
But you'll stay in D.C., right?
No, I will be driving throughout the metro area.
All right.
He's going to be driving fast, too. All sorts of finding all the hills.
Potholes.
Mm-hmm.
It scares me. I have to tell you that.
Please, you can trust my craftsmanship.
Okay.
Next thing you know, you got a life and death experience. Did you ever see that? I think it might have been 60 Minutes or 60 Minutes 2 or one of those shows that had Kevin Spacey on it. And they showed him coming to the interview in one of these little scooters that he stands
on. Oh, no, I saw
that.
See that? It's like a moped engine.
Yeah, that you just stand on.
It's a skateboard that has a stick coming up out of the top of it.
It looked weird, but it also looked like he was having a lot of fun.
You look like Fred Flintstone with your feet on the ground.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Valerie.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Valerie.
Okay. Thank you.
And just out of curiosity, you mentioned your makeup car, right? Valerie
didn't know it.
No,
I said that. Yeah.
Okay.
Volvo.
Because Buzz and I were just giving each other a look when she said that. I was like, stalker.
Oh, yeah. No. Volvo. Like Volvo. Hello, Rich.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Just great, thank you.
Hey, real quick, it's called a GoPed.
A go-ped. Oh, that thing that Kevin Spacey was on?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, for anybody that's planning a visit to New York City in the near future, look around Central Park for two men on the back of a go-ped, Ken and Jeremy. Yeah. just speeding around with Ken at the controls and Jeremy holding on for dear life wearing a Matador's outfit.
Olay.
Toro, that was the most fun ride.
Oh, look, there's a vendor selling flowers. Buy me a rose!
Of course I will. Pick up the rose, then we'll go back to the sushi place.
Yes, Rich, what can we do for you?
About NASCAR in the rain?
Yes.
They have a specially designed car with a windshield wiper and a brake light on the back and Goodyear developed tires for them. So if they get enough notice that it's going to rain, then they bring that car out. So,
well, how much notice do you need?
What do you mean? All the drivers will have cars like that?
Yeah, like if the forecast for that week calls for rain, then they'll bring that car out. They did it over in Japan.
Hey, you're confusing me, sir. Let me tell you why. Because you're saying then they bring that car out. You're sounding like it's...
They have a special car.
So you mean all of the drivers would drive this model car?
Right.
See, when you say that car, it sounds like, well, they bring a special car with like a squeegee on it or something like that?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Nate.
Yeah, how's it going, Don?
Hey, Nate, buddy.
Little NASCAR update here.
Yes.
You were giving the guys a bad time because they don't run in the rain.
Yes.
Do you realize why they don't run in the rain?
Because they're pussies.
No, they're doing 180 miles an hour. Going
right, I drive 180 miles to work every day in the rain.
Without brake pads.
Miles per hour going straight at a wall.
Right.
To kill themselves if they run in the rain.
Right, that's what I want to see.
They're
I'm the only guy who's honest about NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
It's boring as hell to watch guys go around in a circle. You know why I watch NASCAR?
Right.
Because there's a chance that those guys are going to wipe out.
You don't want to see a race, you want to see a cartwheel.
Yes.
Hey, how about the Daytona weekend when Bodine went into that fence and did all those flips into the fence
here we
in
go.
The hospital?
Okay. Here we go. This is when we start taking these NASCAR calls and they start going just a little over the top.
Trust me, those guys are pussies. If they want to keep me as a fan, they'll drive in the rain. Okay?
All righty.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Wouldn't it be cool if, if you want to take it to an extreme, if you had one car that didn't have brakes? Like, and they didn't know at the beginning of the race, so you knew there was going to be a wreck?
And you know what it'd be like the secret square?
Right.
They would say before the race.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Gordon doesn't know that his car doesn't have brakes.
Yeah, and every week one driver would drive without, or like, you know.
Jeff Gordon doesn't know, but we've loosened the lug nuts on his left front tire.
They go into the first turn, the wheel goes off.
There it is! Now that would make NASCAR great.
Sure, absolutely. You just make the cars better. You know, the guys wouldn't have to die, but they do a lot of the cartwheels.
Right. Hello, Tony. Tony, I think this is another guy for the contest. Tony, what would you like to do for $1,500?
I'll come in there and let anyone of your choice take 20 swipes of my bare butt with a paddle.
No.
Why is there such a tremendous homosexual undertone to this contest?
Hey, you can pick a woman. Doesn't have to be a man.
No, it's very gay. What you want to do is very gay.
Now, if a woman wants to come down and let anybody smack her bare bottom 20 times, well, maybe 20 wouldn't be enough.
Mm-hmm.
But if a woman would like to do that, maybe take 100 whacks, you know, maybe we'd entertain that. But no, we don't want to see your bony ass and somebody spanking you. We really don't.
All right, guys, thanks.
Thank you.
He was crushed.
He was. Another satisfied customer.
The same guy that called with the monster.
Right.
Probably
Hello.
His friend.
Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would box or wrestle G. Gordon Liddy for $1,500.
That I'd love to see. You got to run that by Mr. Liddy, though.
How would I go about that?
I would challenge him to a pencil fight.
he can kill a man with just with a number two lead pencil.
Absolutely.
How would you go about that? Well, call him on his radio show.
All right, I'm up for that, if you guys are up for that.
Yes, but I'm not going to commit to G. Gordon Liddy to anything. You'd have to ask him yourself.
But is that worth $1,500?
Sure.
I think it'd be worth $1,500 if Gordon killed you. We'd give it to him.
He would take it also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he would take the money, and yes, I have no doubt if you got into any contest with G. Gordon Liddy, he'd kill you.
He'd probably give some of it to charity, too, because he's good like that.
Yeah.
He'd probably keep like $900 or something.
Well, I was thinking like maybe headgear and boxing gloves, something like that, where maybe I wouldn't lose my life, but I might actually be able to cash in on the $1,500 or something.
No, he'd want to go bare knuckles with his fighting ring.
We apologize for this interruption to the Don and Mike Show on Sports 1140 KHTK. This interruption is caused by a period of sunspots. solar flares that interfere with our reception of satellite programming. Don and Mike will return as soon as the period of sunspots ends. Thank you for your patience, and thanks for listening to Don and Mike on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Drew,
I have never wanted to bang you more than I do right now, Mimi.
I've always known you wanted me, Drew. I know you want me bad, and I'm here for you, baby.
All right, well, listen, we're here. We are in Sacramento. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, and all the other crazy kooks. Now, as you can tell, I'm Drew, and he's Mimi. Now, did you know that...
Sorry, I goosed him again. I apologize.
Our friend Buzz...
I got to take the wig and the earrings off.
Why?
Because I can't hear you.
Yeah, I can't either.
Oh, come on.
There's hair. I'm going to have to go for it pretty soon.
Make an adjustment.
All right.
Make the adjustment. Pull the wig back. Pull the wig around the ears back.
There we are. There. I'm just going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to take off my earrings just for a brief period of time.
Amuse us like you did last night on the airplane.
Ah, yes, it was another festive trip all the way from Washington, D.C. to beautiful Sacramento, California.
No. The flight was really...
On Ponderosa Airlines.
The flight was from D.C. to Denver. Oh, I forgot to introduce, dressed as Ellen DeGenitals, there is Buzz Burbank right there. And, of course, you saw Robert Spiewak, who was dressed as the Nutty Professor.
All right, Rob, come on up here and take a bow. Why not?
Rob is, but not as the right Nutty Professor, not as the Eddie Murphy Nutty Professor. As the Jerry Lewis Nutty Professor.
There he is, my traveling buddy.
You know, we are lucky that we made it here today based on a lot of factors, but one of the main ones is Rob today, when we were going through the airport security this morning in Denver, what we did is we flew into Denver, spent the night there, crashed for a couple hours, got up and took an early plane in here today.
Right.
Rob, because he was so bombed last night on the plane...
He was Mr. Bourbon. He was my bourbon buddy.
He stole this... From the airplane, from the restroom, it is the metal toilet paper holder thing.
That is the holder that was sitting up on top by the sink for toilet tissue.
Okay, so you can imagine that when Rob went through the X-ray machine with this thing...
They thought it was some kind of device.
They stopped him. So we're trying to catch the plane, and Rob is having to explain to the lady how he stole this from the airplane, and then... She says, hold on, we see something else in your bag.
Mm-hmm.
And who knew that Rob Spiewak uses the same kind of hairspray that my grandma used, Aquanet.
A super big jug of Aquanet for Rob Spiewak, which we were amazed at. And
that showed up on their that showed up on the X-ray also.
I'm surprised they let him on the plane. It was a surprise that he made it all together. It's actually a surprise that he survived the entire ordeal last night.
The surprise is that you made it here also. Listen,
I did pretty well. I really don't bring up the front of the line, do I this time?
No, you are second in line. It is a close competition between you and Rob A.
I think I'm second in line basically because I tried to move away from you on the plane last night because it was... Coincidentally enough, it was festival seating on our plane. We could sit anywhere we wanted.
And I've never heard of this. Maybe it was because we were flying this Frontier airline.
Right.
But they had seats in the middle of the plane that faced each other, meaning that not everybody was pointing forward.
I've never taken off backwards before. Now this is a rowdy group we've got here today.
Yeah, you know, and Mike, for some reason, they're all wearing... festive costumes.
Yes, it must be Halloween.
Mm. Right, gotcha.
Gotcha. Now look, there's the guy.
We apologize for this interruption to the Don and Mike show on Sports 1140 KHTK. This interruption is caused by a period of sunspots. solar flares that interfere with our reception of satellite programming. Don and Mike will return as soon as the period of sunspots ends. Thank you for your patience, and thanks for listening to Don and Mike on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Let me ask you, what is it about Bridget? What is it? They announced that they're going to bring Bridget out here, and like guys started going crazy. I mean, besides the obvious, I don't think, Bridget, you're not going to sleep with any of these guys, are you?
No, probably not.
Probably not.
Oh, so you're telling them that there's a chance.
All right, there's a chance, guys.
All right. I'm just trying to find out to gauge why the audience is so in love with Bridget the Midget.
I think I can...
Aside from the obvious reason. But see, they've never seen Bridget before. Bridget's come down to our show, and she's been in various stages of undress, and she's...
I think the internet has a lot to do with Bridget's popularity.
I'd say those internet pictures have probably contributed to this, my fame.
I think that's why Sweaty Rich was actually running to the gate. And did he find you okay?
Yes, he was waiting right.
Did he hit on you?
No, he's been a perfect gentleman the whole time. He even brought me a flower.
Yeah, I can just
7-Eleven flower.
Later on in the day, it's going to be, Bridget, come out with me in the limo. We're going to sample some of the Napa Valley's finest wine.
Yeah, we'll take you for a ride over by Folsom Prison.
Yeah, that's where he's going
to
go.
You'll snuggle up next to him.
He'll ask you to show him the pierced tongue. Do you have the tongue pierced?
He sure does, Max.
This guy does.
Yeah. Yeah. Pierced tongue.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, baby. Look at this guy. Come here. Give a microphone to this guy. The guy is dressed like the kooky hockey player.
Cool. Like a hockey player in the middle of halfway through a fight that he's losing.
Hello,
she's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous. I'll give you that.
Yes, she's very pretty. Very useful good look.
Have you ever seen her on the internet?
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Okay. Well, that explains it.
That's good.
I didn't know technology.
She's a lot better in person, let me tell you.
But you...
And you're not shy, Bridget. You don't mind just standing up here, right? You're just kind of digging it, aren't you?
Hey, right here. She can have a seat right here, front row.
Listen, I don't know if Bridget wants to sit on your lap. Do you want to sit on that guy's lap?
It's got padding.
Do you want to sit on that guy's lap, Bridget, for a while? You're okay up here? Yeah.
Listen, you know what? If anybody sits on Bridget's lap, we'll pick a guy who is really deserving. Not that you're not deserving.
Wow.
So you saw her picture on the internet, huh?
Okay, I got that.
And what is this?
Security.
All right, hold on. I'm just going to hand it. Another pic. Oh, this is one of the pictures that's on the internet.
Ah, yes. You downloaded it and put it through your printer. Technology. Terrific.
This is that one of our Las Vegas-style shows where Bridget...
See that, Bridget?
Her shirt unexpectedly fell to the floor.
Oh, my.
Unexpectedly, of course.
Do you have a... So you have a little exhibitionism in you, isn't that right, Bridget? Just a little bit?
To you, the good people of Sacramento. If you behave yourselves today, you know, maybe.
You never know what's going to happen at one of our live shows. You never,
maybe.
Never know.
Clothes might somehow unexplainedly, like, fall to the floor.
Yeah, in a beautiful room like this, I suppose everybody's ready to get naked.
Anything. Now, listen. Are there any people here today? I was told that there might be a couple people who will be coming dressed as nudists.
Really? Do we have any people dressed
here?
You don't look like a nudist.
No. I was told that there's a guy and a girl here in like a bodysuit.
Really?
And that they had a hard time getting... Oh, not you. Not the guy with the... Look, there's a guy standing up over there.
Oh, that's
a bikini on.
That's a stomach turner, sir. That's for sure.
Goldfish, I'll do 50 because I need the money.
50 goldfish, we'd sign you up immediately for the contest.
Okay, when do I do it?
Thursday.
And how do you want me to eat them? I'm thinking I could eat them raw, I could eat them in a milkshake.
No, it would have to be one at a time, right?
Yeah, one at a time.
One at a time, that's fine.
Okay.
Now,
assuming
50 sardines.
Yeah.
Sardine? Right. You want to eat 50 sardines?
We're just talking about the possibility of your colon exploding.
I think he'd be okay.
I think he'd be fine.
You always read about, like, kooky college kids having goldfish eating contests.
I don't think anything like that will pass.
One clause, though, is 50 or as many as I can hold down. If they come up, though, I mean, I got to...
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
Sure,
okay.
Course.
So Thursday at what time?
Hold on. We'll give you a time, Kirk.
All right. Well, I'll be working next week, so I'm sure I'm available.
All right.
I love you guys.
It's this week. Hold on, please.
Okay.
Hold on. Kirk is a very, for a guy that's going to eat 50 goldfish, seems to be a very nervous young man.
Hello, Pete.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Good. I want to enter your contest.
Well, yes, what would you like to do for $1,500?
I will eat yours and Mike's boogers.
Right.
Our boogers? No.
No,
sorry. Nothing that comes out of our body will go into your body.
That's right. Nobody eats those except me.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Or me if I'm real hungry. Hello.
Hey. We've been working together a long time.
Hello.
Jesse in Baltimore.
Hi, Jesse.
How you doing? Radio God.
Thanks. Hi.
I'm willing to run. Is the Fair Oaks Mall pretty close to you guys?
Fair Oaks Mall, yeah.
Okay, I will run there in a bikini bathing suit with black magic mark or anything you want written on me in rush hour traffic.
Thanks. Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to the $1,500 contest.
Yes.
My clitoris pierced.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
Yes, we will immediately sign you up to,
absolutely.
Have, to have your hood pierced.
Okay.
Yep.
You have someone that can do this skillfully and with you know, the proper procedures?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, if you can find a licensed hoodologist...
We've had that done before.
We'd love to have it done again.
Absolutely. I'd say right away that you're probably in the top three now.
Right, you're right up with there with the guy that's going to put the mousetraps on his penis and the guy that's going to eat the 50 goldfish.
Okay, if the guy wins with the mousetrap, me and my partner, our EMTs, we're working right now. We'll come up and stand by for you.
Hey, that's great. If you're an EMT during this contest, all the better.
Well, yeah, what's your first name, honey?
Lynn.
Okay, Lynn, hold on.
Hey, Lynn, who's the celebrity you most resemble?
I really don't know.
Oh, come on, Lynn.
Lynn, I mean, come on. Give us something.
You
got to
give us something.
Maybe that, the girl from Wonder Years.
Oh, you mean Kevin Arnold's girlfriend?
Yeah.
Winnie Cooper?
Winnie?
Mm.
Oh.
I'd like to see her hood. You never liked Winnie, did you?
No, I didn't.
I always did.
Well, that's good. I mean, you're a grown-up Winnie, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Her big moon pie face.
Winnie.
Thank you. Hold on, please.
Hello, okay. Winnie.
Hold on. We'll give you an appointment for Thursday's episode, okay?
Egg salad-y.
You know, and at some point, I want to get back to talking about Ellen DeGeneres' breasts.
And I'm dying to see those breasts. I really am. I'm going to, next time they rebroadcast.
Well, maybe somebody listening has a copy of the HBO show last night, although why anyone would take that, I don't know. Maybe somebody did. If these walls could talk, I'd love to get a copy down here so we could analyze Ellen's breasts.
I think that's a good idea.
On the air. I'm telling you, there may be, I don't want to say the most tremendous set I've ever seen, but...
My God, this is amazing me that you are this enthused about them. I mean, who would they compare to of celebrity breasts that you've seen?
Jennifer Aniston quality?
See, you've never seen Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, I've not seen it. But I've got to say that when I thought of Jennifer Aniston, yes.
Wow.
Although Jennifer Aniston's, I think, are bigger.
Right.
I'm telling you, the way that...
They look real.
Absolutely.
They look very real. So enthusiastic.
I'm telling you.
Wow.
She had has great, great boobs. Ellen DeGeneres.
Anne Heche likes those boobs, too.
Hello, Kelly.
Hi.
Hi, what would you like to do for $1,500?
I would go down and show the dick sites.
I think that they have a problem with actual live sex acts on the radio.
That's right.
Well, what would you like me to do to her?
Well, honey, it's your contest. If you would like to come up with something else that involves Cheryl the Big Dyke, let us know. Okay?
I can make out with her.
Well, see, that's routine stuff for this show.
That happens all the time.
Yeah. Can you come up with something creative right now?
How about nude wrestling? I could wrestle Cheryl the Big Dyke.
Okay, well, you keep wanting to involve Cheryl the Big Dyke in this. Why?
Do you know Cheryl the Big Dyke?
No, I don't.
Why are you intrigued by Cheryl the Big Dyke?
It was just what I thought of when you had the contest.
But let me just say this, and I mean no offense to Cheryl.
Of course not.
Who I love like a sister. But if you knew Cheryl the way that we know Cheryl, maybe you would rethink that first offer that you
first
made.
Offer.
Okay?
Why is that?
Are you a lesbian?
No, and I have much better breasts than Ellen. I have 36 double D's with a real nice tattoo on them.
Really?
Well, nothing makes a breast look better than a nice tattoo.
Fascinating.
Well, you could nude wrestle if you could come up with another partner on your own. There's nothing wrong with two girls nude wrestling.
Well, what's wrong with Cheryl?
Maybe you could make Don he couldn't drink it, of course, but you could make Don a shaken martini between your breasts.
Okay.
I'm sorry. My fantasy, my active fantasy mind is just taking over. Once again, I'm helping the listeners.
Yes, you are. Mike O'Mara, the listener's friend.
I can do that. I used to bartend.
Now, Kelly, you have to come up with something on your own, honey. Call us back.
Okay, how about you do shooters between my breasts or...
You know, Kelly, it sounds to me like maybe the contest isn't for you, but you could just drop by sometime.
Yeah.
How about body shots with tequila?
Yeah, and how about then my wife would divorce me? How's that sound? Okay? Listen, you come up with a stunt you'd like to do, and you call us back.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, I know what she could have done.
What?
You go a half hour without talking baby talk.
Hello. Not in my show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
I will lick Dennis's stump. Absolutely.
Okay, hold on. Let me qualify this. Would you suck his stump?
I will suck his stump.
You're in.
Okay. Wow.
You're in. If you will suck Dennis Murphy's stump.
I will totally suck his stump.
That's an all new one.
See, now that. Yeah. That's clever.
You know, to an outsider, it's just going to look like he has their whole hand in his center mouth.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, my God. That'll be interesting. And once again, another chance for us to see Dennis Murphy.
All right, you're in. What's your first name?
Irene. I called you a couple days ago to commend you on the show.
All right, darling. Hold on, please.
Thank you.
Hold on. We'll give you a set appointment time for Thursday.
And, you know,
Thursday.
That's something we've always thought could happen, but, well, now we're
going to
see it.
So now we'll have a guy who is going to drink the water that Dennis has soaked his feet in, mm-hmm. and a woman's going to suck on his stump.
We can actually take care of both, you know. While Dennis is soaking his feet, we can have the lady suck his stump.
Hello, Kevin.
Hi.
Hi.
I saw Ellen on Larry King, and those boobs under that shirt looked so raunchy.
Now, what do you mean by raunchy?
No, hold on. I'm talking about Ellen on the HBO show last night when she took her shirt off.
I know, but I saw her on Larry King, and I don't know how those boobs could be fine because they were just all saggy and ugh.
Well,
it's
a nipple guy.
Nipple guy, man. Moo, 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 moo.
It's a nipple guy. I can't take that guy seriously.
Of course not.
I'm looking for real feedback on Ellen's boobs.
I'm not laughing at him again.
Don't laugh at the nipple guy.
I won't. I haven't before, and I've just started. That made me laugh. Damn.
Hello, Wes.
Yeah, that show you're talking about, it comes on again tonight at 8 and 11 on HBO.
Great.
All right, watch it, Mike. I'll check it out.
I'll tape it tonight, and tomorrow we can dissect Ellen's boobs.
I'll watch it at 8 and 11.
did you see them, Wes?
Yeah, they're great.
There you have it.
They are great.
Wes is a man of few words, but he knows his stuff.
You got it. Later.
I'm telling you, they're beautiful.
It's good.
They're just beautiful. They really are.
I just want to tell you one more time, please. They're on Ellen.
I know it.
I just want you to, you know, sometimes.
I know it.
You know, it would be like if you saw a beautiful breast and then it was, you know, on Big Pussy from The Sopranos. You know, it wouldn't matter.
I'm telling you.
Wow.
She's got them. Hello. Hello, Pete. Hello, are you there, Pete?
Yeah, how you doing, Don?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, listen, they were rolling around so much, it was hard not to compare Ellen's breasts with Sharon Stone's breasts.
And I'll give you my instant observation. Ellen's are better.
I would agree with that. I thought they were nice. I was.
You know, I'll tell you, we usually get a little controversy with this, but there is none. You are, I believe, everyone is agreeing mm-hmm. with your assessment of
Ellen
breasts.
Has great jugs.
She does, but
great jugs.
But so does Sharon Stone, and to be better than Sharon Stone is a sell.
And you know what makes them better? Pepperoni pizza sized areolas.
Oh yeah,
very dark.
Ask for them by name.
Very
perfect color.
They're very
perfect.
They were. They were. Hello, another Pete. Pete.
What, Pete? Yeah. Listen, I've seen Ellen in Vegas, braless with a T-shirt on, doing stand-up. There is no way they are fine. Is there any chance that was a body double?
Absolutely not.
No.
She was rolling around with Sharon Stone. It was a total frontal nudity.
All right, now wait a minute. You're 1,000% sure that she hadn't had augmentation?
Yes, you know, this is like...
What if she was going to do... Say she's going to do this
some
movie.
Surgery? Because there's no way they...
Is there a possibility?
You know, that I don't know.
Okay.
I've got to say I'm open to that possibility.
This was 2.5 years ago, and they were not fine. They were...
Okay, how can you...
and saggy.
Let me just say something. How can you tell when a girl is walking around with a shirt on?
But... How many times have we... She was doing stand-up, and those bright stage lights...
You know, John's right. Wait a minute.
How many times have we had girls come in here for strip trivia?
That is the definitive word. And you're absolutely right.
We've had girls come in, and we think there's nothing special
absolutely.
About them. And they take their shirts
you're
off,
right.
and it's all of a sudden...
Yep.
Wow!
That's
right.
the best evidence that you're absolutely right, because we've
right,
seen
well,
those women...
I can't help that fact. I'm just telling you, they better be great areolas. They better stand the pencil test or
you
something.
You can't tell. You can't tell if a woman is wearing...
No
Hello?
Way.
You can't tell if a woman is wearing a shirt.
Listen, I'm a connoisseur, sir.
Well, so am I.
I'm a connoisseur of the breast.
All real red-blooded Americans connoisseurs.
I'm telling you, she's got great ones.
Okay, well, I can't wait to see them. It's on tonight at 8?
Yes. Check it out. Call me back tomorrow.
Better than Sharon.
Yes, better than Sharon Stone, yes.
Dang.
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 Thanks, guys.
Dang. Now, is Ellen sitting up in this scene or laying down or both? Or
she's
actually suspended from the ceiling.
Ah. She is actually, and this is a testament to Ellen's breasts.
Yes.
She is laying on her back.
Uh-huh.
And even as she is laying on her back, they do not sag to the side.
Really, but sometimes when a woman's laying on her back, they look better than if she's standing
yes,
up.
True.
You see them when she's standing
yeah,
up.
You see them both, but you get your best shot when she's on her back.
Okay.
Best shot on her back.
Okay. Well, that would speak to perhaps augmentation, though, but it's hard to tell.
Hello, Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to add something to your contest.
Yes, what would you do for $1,500?
I will eat marshmallows that have been between Dennis Murphy's butt cheeks.
Too much Dennis Murphy.
And besides, already been done before.
One little atom.
We already had the marshmallow contest.
But it's nice to see he's still trying to get back on the radio.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Don, you know that thing that Mike wants to buy you for your car?
Yeah,
it's called a cherry picker.
The hook?
Yeah, the hook.
Yeah.
Put the chain on it.
Mm-hmm.
And may I suggest that you put two jack stands underneath your car when you're working under it, just in case it slips off the ramp?
I do. I put one under the left tire and one under the right tire.
Oh, well, that should be okay then.
Well, you're talking about jack stands as well as the ramps, right?
Yeah, also.
Oh, no, so you're talking about two jacks that you have underneath your car. He's talking about buying two more pieces of equipment.
No, I only use those ramps.
Oh,
the ramps
have
are
a little
fine.
Extra backup, Don.
No, I don't need the backup, sir. Thank you, though.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good luck.
I don't need the backup.
Thank you.
We wheel you in next week.
Hello, Amanda.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, baby.
This is the first time I've ever called, but I wanted to ask you a question. Last night on The Sopranos, what did you think about Meadow's mom telling that lady to write the letter, that she had to write the letter?
It was great. It was Carm Soprano using the muscle of the Soprano family.
Yeah, being a good fella. She's, she's had it. She had it with that lady, and she said, do it or else.
Right. Unbelievable. Do
a little out of character. A little out of character for her.
But it was because it meant so much to her.
That's exactly right. We could write that show, couldn't we?
We could.
Absolutely.
It's because she felt strongly. She doesn't want Meadow to go to Berkeley.
That's right.
She wants Meadow to go to a nice East Coast school.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
By Georgetown.
Do you think she wrote it?
Where she'd be able to get into the fat-ass sorority.
Yeah, that's an interesting question if she wrote it or not, because that was I love the detail on that show. Yeah. Could I have a copy of the letter?
Right.
That was great.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem right there.
I would bet that the lady did write the letter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's scared crapless.
Of course.
Carm Soprano came over and threatened her and gave her, what was that crappy mincemeat pie she brought her?
I don't know what it was called. It was like ricotta pie?
Ricotta pie with pineapple.
Ricotta pie.
Sounds like garbage.
I'll tell you right now, when we do our little $1,500 show, we're going to have a lot of ricotta. Got a pie in here.
We sure are.
Guarantee that.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, baby. Bye. We got a break. We'll come right back.
Men, tired of hair replacement methods that look terrible and just don't work? Well, now, due to a revolutionary process, a full, natural head of hair is no longer just a dream. So why wait? Do what hundreds of active men have already done.
I was completely bald just 6 months ago until I discovered the Pubic Hair Club for Men.
Yes, the Pubic Hair Club for Men will change your life. And here are the facts. Pubic hair never needs cutting, never needs curling. Just a shot of Cruex, and you're on the go. Say goodbye to expensive body waves and styling bills. Pubic hair is genetically pre-programmed to grow only so much. Put hair on your head with no overhead.
I had more than enough hair down there. So when Pubic Hair Club moved it up top, I was ecstatic.
We take hundreds of tiny pubic hairs and arrange them in a natural, healthy pattern. The color, the luster, and of course, the undeniable curl that says pubic hair.
Hi, I'm Ned Ulock. And remember, I'm not only president of the Pubic Hair Club for Men, I'm also a client.
So what?
are you waiting for?
Hey, Pubic Hair Club for Men. If you're listening to us in Seattle, Washington, let me tell you, the radio station is KRKO. KRKO.
Right.
Seattle, Washington.
Listen, honey. The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Deborah Dean. Who hasn't had a facelift?
Has she said hello to you in the hallway?
Not since we talked about the fact that she might have had a facelift.
Mm-hmm.
Now when she sees me, as a matter of fact...
I've spoken to her several times.
As have I.
She looks away.
She
I
does. Mean,
she turns away. What, my greeting to Deborah Dean now is when I see her in the hallway, I say, hey, hi, look away. Don't make direct eye contact with me, whatever you do.
And she hasn't come any closer to you. Are you going to make any further efforts to repair that situation?
No. No. Why should I?
Because it's obviously disturbing you when she walks by like that.
Sure.
And she, obviously, the fact that she looks...
I'd like to be friends with her.
You
I would too.
I'd like to be friends with Deborah Dean.
Wait, is she doing the same thing to you, Rob?
No, she's sort of just
I'm sorry,
like...
it's a woman and it's Rob and we're talking about it. So Rob instantaneously hates her. That's what it is. I'm saying, yes, go ahead, Rob.
She's just, you know, hi. Hi, Robbie. She calls me Robbie.
So she speaks to you?
Yeah, but not much.
Do you have in-depth conversations with Deborah Dean?
I had a relatively lengthy conversation with her, I think, one time in the... Once in the past couple of weeks, I've spoken with her.
About what? About cosmetic surgery?
No, I forgot what it was about. It was something... It was just, you know, small talk, really.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Robbie?
Yeah.
Go ask her if she feels like coming in. She feels like coming in here yet.
Okay.
I've had a conversation with her as well. It was rather lengthy.
Okay.
Really?
Well, not me.
Very friendly. This is a salesperson who used to work here, then went away, and now works here again, like many people.
Mm-hmm. Right. They all come back. Hello, Vision. Chad.
Yes, hello.
Hi, Chad.
Hey, I was calling about if these walls could talk to.
Oh, Ellen, right. Ellen's yes. Boobs, right.
Yes, I was agreeing with you on that.
Yeah, they're spectacular.
I thought they were, and I would have never believed it if I didn't see it last night.
Absolutely perfect. Thank you, Chad.
So far, you're batting 1,000 on the people that are commenting about Ellen's
Watch
breasts.
It tonight.
I am.
We'll discuss it tomorrow.
I'm looking forward
we'll
to it.
We'll look at the videotape tomorrow.
I'm going to watch it like this with my hands this far apart. I'm turned like this, so there's a little narrow area in there.
Hello, Lee.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you guys still open for the contest?
Hey, hold on a second. Rob's calling me. Hold on a second. Hi, Robbie.
Hi. You're just going to embarrass her and pick her apart. She's too busy to speak to you.
Now she's coming out and saying it, at least, why she didn't. Now, did she say that to you, Rob?
Yeah.
Ask her why. Tell her I got nothing but love for her.
They got nothing but love for you, Deborah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. You know, you can just call in from your very phone and make this easier for everybody. Now she's shrugging.
Ask her how come now don't involve Mike in this, because Mike said he has a good relationship with her. Ask her how come when she sees me in the hall, she won't look me in the eye.
Why won't she look Don in the eye?
In the hall.
She says you don't.
No, she doesn't.
You're looking in the eye.
She says she does.
Come on, look him in the eye.
Next time
I congratulated him on his New York thing.
They said that she congratulated
you. Now, wait a minute. Did she congratulate you on the New York thing?
As she was driving away in her car.
Was she driving towards you?
She was driving away from me.
Oh, away from you. Okay. She was leaving.
Rob, tell her that Don requires a longer conversation.
Don requires a longer conversation. He won't be ignored, Deborah.
I'd like a nice sit-down with Deborah.
A sit-down would be nice.
You'd like a sit-down. Does that sit-down have to be on the air, or would you want it off
the air? It could be off the air. A nice off-the-air sit-down.
An off-the-air sit-down. Like in The Sopranos when they sit in front of a sausage shop.
Yes. When we can discuss that man.
Now she's just smirking.
When we can discuss that man that she caught.
Well, Rob, ask her specifically if she would be averse to a sit-down, a longer conversation with Don off the air.
Would you be averse to a sit-down, a nice long conversation with Don off the air? Off the air. She'll talk to you off the air. What time is good for you?
How about today?
Today?
No, I can't do it today, Mike.
You can't do it today. Scratch that.
I can't do it today. Maybe tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
How about tomorrow?
Like 2:30?
Before the show.
How about tomorrow at 2:30? Really? We can write you in ink?
Yeah, you might.
Okay,
I'll vacate the office.
You can go to Don's office, and he'll be waiting for you at 2:30.
Alone.
2:31 is late.
Alone. With the door open.
With the door open. The door can be open.
Oh, the door will be closed?
The door must be shut.
Oh, I'm sorry. The door will be closed. She's crying. No, not really.
All right.
No,
then tell her she and I can have a peace summit tomorrow.
A peace summit tomorrow at 2:30. Okay. You know what? I'd like to say she looks excited, but not really.
Tell her I won't even mention the words plastic surgery.
He won't even mention the words plastic surgery. Oh, now that ruined it.
Mm.
Now the grin is gone. Oh, she's...
she's mad now.
Oh, come on. Tell her not to be mad. I'm just
goofing. You can say all you want and she doesn't care.
Tell her I'm just goofing her.
It's just a goof.
She looks incredible for a woman her age.
Don says you look incredible for a woman your age. She's laughing again. I think you want her back.
Ah, good. Ah. So you're on for the Peace Summit at 2:30 tomorrow.
2:30 tomorrow.
The Camp David Accord is still on tomorrow at 2:30? Yes. She says okay, but now she won't make eye contact with me.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
And do you have a message for Joe Ardinger? He's back here, too.
Yeah, can you do I know you'd try to do Charlie. Just do a Charlie and say, hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe. He laughed.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Rob.
All right, goodbye, Robbie.
Goodbye.
There you go. Well, it's on.
Peace on it tomorrow with me and Deborah Dean.
Huzzah.
And we'll get her back on the show.
There you go.
She'll come back and we'll find out once and for all what she's had done.
She was always very interesting to speak with on the air.
She's kooky.
She's a neat lady to have on the show.
She is a fountain of useless information.
She does indeed.
But since she came back,
it's been different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, she looks different.
She looks good.
Very. She looks great.
She looks very good.
I'd just like to know if it's natural or if it's, enhancement of something.
That's absolutely.
Hello, Corey.
Yes, I'd like to add something to your free show.
Yes, sir.
How about you and Mike fart in my face and I inhale it?
Rob does that every day for nothing.
No, still waiting for the money.
I'm sorry. Hello, Lee.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I got a little idea.
Yes.
How about this? How about either in your all's office or outside on the street, I'm completely naked except for whipped cream on my lower area, and I walk up with my Palooza swinging around and ask people if they would like to have sex with me for 45 minutes. Straight-faced.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Misha.
Straight sex.
Straight sex.
Who's not to confuse the issue?
Not anal sex.
Straight sex.
Straight sex.
Hello, Lou.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
I was wondering if you and Mike last week caught the biography they had of watching the detectives, the different detectives, and they had a biography of Angie Dickinson, and they showed her full frontal nudity, and she looked hot. It was from a while back, of course.
She was, in her day,
a turbo hottie in her day.
I mean, her breasts were perky and natural and just beautiful.
I think by the time
Lay King got to her?
By the time Larry got to those breasts, it was pancake time.
Hi,
this is Lay King.
And to give you an idea just how old Angie Dickinson is, she was Sinatra's leading lady in Ocean's 11 in 1962.
She's way up there.
Way up there.
They just read over the weekend that George Clooney is remaking that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Ocean's 11.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That awful movie that Frank Sinatra made with his buddies.
And in the bio of Frank Sinatra, that movie, aren't they talking about doing that too, where they're all going to get together and we'll play Vegas during the night and then we'll shoot during the day.
Hello, Joe.
Yes.
That's when Larry King was in the Rat Pack.
Joe, buddy.
I want to talk to you about your imitation of me on Friday.
Who's this?
This is the Cos.
Oh. Okay, goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'll change his brakes for $1,500 if he'll sign a release.
What is this? Very strange.
Tell him I'll find it. I'll change his brakes if he signs the release for $1,500.
You, sir, are an idiot.
Hey, you're talking to me.
Alrighty then. Hey, man, that's the other device is called a creeper that goes underneath the car. But anyways, Don,
creeper.
I thought I'd just pop
are out. You some kind of moron?
I think this device that's on the phone is a creeper, too.
Bye.
There you go.
I'm going to tell you you're a moron.
Nice little hangout. The Tom Gavin method of saying farewell.
Hello, Don and Mike.
All right, hello.
Hello, turn your radio down, please.
Okay. I'd like to get on the show.
Okay. Hello, you're on the show.
Okay, may I speak to Don?
Okay. You are speaking to me.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
I enjoy your show a lot, but why are you harassing that lady?
Harassing who?
The lady in the one that Rob just spoke to.
How am I harassing her, sir?
She don't want to talk to you. Just leave her alone.
No, she wants to talk to me. She's a good
playful.
Friend of mine.
Yeah, these are friends we're talking about here, sir. It is all playful.
She's a good friend of mine.
I see.
She just left the station, and I haven't talked to her in about 7 years.
The only reason we're bringing it up is because Dom wants to talk to her.
That's
she's a friend of his.
That's the way it works between like Buzz.
The way it works between the two of them. They're going to have a sit-down, a summit meeting, and everything will be nice.
We're going to figure out why she won't look me in the eye.
But I guarantee you one thing.
What's
it's going to be nice. It'll be nice because you're nice, and she's nice.
We're nice.
Are you nice for real?
Pardon me?
You know? All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Hello. Cynthia.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
I mean a-hole.
A-hole?
Not supposed to say the whole word.
Oh, they vetoed that.
Yes. Sorry about that.
What a bunch of a-holes.
Hello, Cynthia.
Hi, guys. How you
Hi.
Doing?
Hi, we're great.
I'm from Wichita, Kansas. We're all looking forward to having you here. And last night, my girlfriend and I watched If These Walls Could Talk To, and we just thought her breasts were wonderful.
Are you lesbians?
Yes, we are.
Wonderful. I just like getting a lesbian's perspective on that.
Love that. Love
we
that.
Love her breasts, and we actually taped it, so I could go, you know, rewind.
If you had to choose a lesbian encounter, who would it be, Sharon Stone or Ellen DeGeneres?
Oh, for years, I've wanted Sharon.
Okay.
It's all about Sharon.
But you think Ellen's boobs are nice.
They're lovely. You know, I've actually wondered what her breasts would look like, and I was just in shock that, you know, we were sitting there, and we were...
Well, I tell you.
Striking, really.
They're great. They're fantastic.
They're fabulous.
I'm going to be like 2 inches from the TV when I get home tonight.
They are so desirable.
They are more desirable than any boobs I have seen.
They're luscious.
Listen to this. And, you know, it's one thing when all the guys are calling, but you're sitting here agreeing with a lesbian about this. Now I believe that there's just no room for error. I believe that I'm going to see perhaps...
The greatest set ever.
That's
wow.
Incredible.
Three words come to mind.
Now you're taking it up a notch. Now you said they're really, really good before, but now you're saying the greatest ever?
Okay, not ever.
Okay.
Ever.
Top 10, though.
Way up.
Maybe top 5.
Top 5.
Top 5.
Wow.
Three words come to mind. All day sucker.
Think
about it.
Man.
Think about it.
Man, oh
think
man.
About it like I'm thinking about it right now.
I am. I'm having trouble concentrating on the show because I'm just picturing it.
Yeah. All right, I have something that'll break that mood. We have the gay photos here now.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, the proofs
from Maxim
Magazine.
The photos of the two guys who came down on Friday to be our body stand-in doubles in Maxim Magazine.
This is going
to
be fun.
The photographer was nice enough to rush the photos through this weekend. So real quickly, let's go through and pick the one we want. The
Very
Maxim
good.
Magazine will print to be me and you.
These are going
to
be great.
Okay.
All right, the proofs are here.
Okay.
All right.
Here's the one with the guys back to back. Shirtless.
They're all good. I can tell you that and right now.
And here they are with their arms around each other. Again, remember, the one we select will be the one that's you and me.
Sure.
In the magazine.
Right.
Okay. Then we have... The one where the one guy's piggyback on the other guy's shoulders.
Right.
Okay. Then there's more piggyback with them looking pensive and them smiling.
Yeah, the one guy's smirking though.
And then there's more back to back.
The back to back.
That's what we have to go.
You got
to
go with the back to back. It's just too funny.
That one. How about the middle one right
there? That's great. That's great.
Is that a good one?
That's perfect.
So it'll say, National Syndicated Radio Host Don and Mike, and it'll have this picture of these two guys. Can you see it, Bud?
Yes, I can, and that is great.
That is a beautiful
thing. Oh, I can't wait till that makes the magazine. Man, I am looking forward to that.
That is a beautiful thing. We want to thank Charles Roby Photography.
Good guy. Got in here and did it quick.
For coming down and doing all this stuff for us.
Good job, too.
Fantastic. Send all the proofs. Get that right out to Maxim Magazine, Robbie.
That is going to be too funny when that hits the newsstand.
Get it right to him. Hello, Becky. Becky.
Hello, Becky.
All right, thought you were there. Let's go to Bob.
Yes.
Bob.
I got a deal for the $1,500.
Yes, Bobby.
I'll screw a squirrel.
No thanks, Bob.
They're all out there. And why? Why should we pay you $1,500 to do something you do every day?
Hello, Judd.
Hey, I want to stick my genitals in a jar full of bees.
Everything seems to be involving the penis today.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that one.
It's truly amazing.
I don't know how I feel about Judd putting his pud in a jar of bees.
Yeah.
I'm down.
What's that?
I'm down with it.
Well, if you're down with it, that's interesting, but I mean, we're just not sure about it.
I don't think so. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, Ellen's were nice, but what about Michelle Phillips?
I didn't even see Michelle Phillips. Was she in that show last night?
Yeah, the second scene with her and the, they went to the bar and the butch girl on the motorcycle.
Oh, I turned it off when they were picking each other up in the bar. I only went back when it was Ellen and Sharon Stone. I could give a rat's ass about the other girls, but was she nice?
Oh, nice.
Okay, thank you.
Well, we're going to have to log some time with this tonight.
Hello, Randy.
Hey. For that $1,500 thing you guys have going on?
Yes, Scooter.
How about I come down and get naked with your mama?
You can
do that for much less than $1,500.
It's still free, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's good.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. Scootermobile, Alabama.
Oh, there you go.
Weird. Okay. Like it. That's very weird.
You want Scooter?
You know what I do with $1,500?
Oh, I don't know.
I pay my mom's medical bill.
All right, that's wonderful, Scooter.
Oh, he's telling us what he'd do with his prize money.
Yeah, my mom's been in the hospital with her broken hip. I would pay her medical bill.
All right, how long does it take your mama's hip to heal? Isn't your mom
85 years old. It takes a long time.
Yeah, she's been in there since, like, last fall.
Yeah, that's right.
And she's not out of the hospital yet?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad, Scooter.
It is, but you know what? Rob's birthday is Wednesday.
That's right. What are you sending? What are you sending, Rob?
When Mom gets well, I'm going to send Rob something, and this time there's no holding me back.
You know, Scooter, I feel sorry for your mom, but you've been telling Rob you were going to send him something, and it just never happened.
I know, and Mom got hurt.
Yeah.
Can I help that?
No. Wasn't Mom sick back when Rob got married?
Yes.
Mom is going for a tough time, man.
Okay. Well, how long does it take a bone to heal?
For my mom, it'll probably take a year.
A year?
A year? I don't believe that,
How
Scooter.
Convenient, Scooter.
Because she's such a great lady.
Scooter, by any chance, is she laying on the wedding gift? I mean, what's in the way there?
Robin, how you doing?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good.
Dude,
my mom loves you too, Rob.
What's that, dude?
I said, my mom loves you too, Rob.
I love Mrs. Scooter as well.
She ain't Mrs. Scooter. She's Mrs. Burns.
Mrs. Burns.
All right. Thank you for the call, Scooter.
Hey, you need more call from Mobile, though.
Mobile, Alabama. No, you're a fine representative for Mobile.
You are, Scooter.
You gotta come down here.
Not a chance, Scooter.
Not a chance?
Not a chance.
I'd make you grits.
Ooh, Scooter's grits.
Totally grits. Okay. Goodbye, Scooter.
Goodbye, guys.
Hey, Scooter, who won the World Series in 1945?
Well, they haven't been wrong since. The Tigers beat the Cubs.
That's fantastic.
Who won the World Series in 71?
The Pirates beat the Orioles.
Who was the Super Bowl MVP in 1971?
They lost the Colts 16-13 with Chuck Howe and the Dallas Cowboys.
Can you name every year the New York Yankees have won the World Series?
They won 42 of them. I can't name them all. They beat my Atlanta Braves last year.
I think that the Yankees only won 25.
42.
42 World Championships?
They won 42 pennants. They won 28 World Championships.
You knew it, huh?
Can you name the years?
World Championships.
No, I can't name the last time the Red Sox won 1918.
Yeah, 1918. I can name that, too.
Thank you, Rain Man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye, Scooter.
Give our best to the widow Burns.
Hello, last call. Don and Mike. Hello, Christine.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
I just called to tell you that I think they should hire you at home box office because I also consider myself a breast connoisseur, and I just literally ordered HBO to see Ellen's boobs.
There you go.
You're sure they're worth it. Are you a lesbian?
I'm a former lesbian.
Excellent.
They're worth $9.95 a month.
I'm sorry?
They're worth $4.30-some a boob.
Yeah,
it's worth
at least
it.
Porn out of all the stations, but I'll get it for Ellen's boobs.
Oh, you'll like it.
Mm-hmm.
You really like it.
Can we start playing bum darts again?
Bum darts?
Bum darts. Remember we used to play bum darts with that weird kid?
The TV kid.
Didn't we talk once about playing bum darts? We
now you're playing.
Do it?
No, we like played that song about bum darts that he recorded that we thought was totally
bum darts.
Yeah, totally abnormal that his mother made him say.
All right, we got you. Thank you.
Thanks. God bless.
Thank you, Christine. Bye bye.
Hi, Dunn and Mike. This is Richie from Nyack. Here in Nyack, nothing breaks the ice at a party like a rousing game of bum darts. My lovely assistant, Rotunda, who is a 250-pound professional stripper and dressed in a gold lamé bra and G-string, will now assist me. You don't have to be a prop or a master of art.
Poor kid.
Anyone is smart enough to play a game of bum darts. Grip a quarter with your butt. Is how the fun starts.
Ew.
Then you drop it in a cup.
Okay.
Now you're playing bum darts.
Now I remember the game at least.
Careful on your first approach. Pay attention to the coach. Clutch the coin.
I think we know who the coach is. Mommy.
Your team.
Oh, this poor kid.
Till you feel the time is right, hold on to that quarter tight.
Keep in mind that this is a
a stage mother
yes.
who fancies herself like Kathy Lee Gifford
mm-hmm.
from Nyack, New York,
right.
who makes her kids sing these songs.
It makes me uncomfortable on so many different levels I can't even count.
And this is a song about people putting quarters of other things in between their butt cheeks.
And then this child is singing about like a 250-pound stripper and dropping quarters from his butt cheeks while the coach helps him.
That's not right.
Soon no. will come the moment of release.
That's the sound.
Yeah.
The quarter.
Why do I think that it was done the proper way, too? With mommy.
Catching on
Weird.
From Nyack to Washington, it's the language that everybody speaks.
Oh, this poor kid.
So uncomfortable.
Anytime or...
Cody Gifford is laughing at this kid right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Got stylish.
Cody Gifford's feeling much better about himself.
From stars you'll have murmur cheese.
Jeez, there's someone worse than me.
Keep your shit away from this birthday party.
Bum dart.
Think mommy's playing the guitar, like feverishly, like breaking her nails, strumming away on the guitar.
And dropping the quarters.
Bum dart.
Oh, man, that's weird. Hey, that's a therapist couch right there, all the way.
Oh, that's funny. That girl called in to hear that song. It's even funny that Rob knew where to find it.
No, Rob plays bum darts.
Thank you, Robbie. We are up on a break. Be right back. Let me ask you a question as we go to break. Oh, and when we come back, I still want to discuss Katie Couric's colonoscopy on TV today.
Yes.
Also, Larry King's column in which he writes again about going to South Africa.
Very exciting with his brother Marty Zeiger.
But let me ask you something, Mike. We got a letter today from our station in Green Bay.
Yeah, good guys. They were here last week.
You can see they have the Packer logo. Green Bay's Packer station,
mm-hmm.
WNFL. Flagship station for the Green Bay Packers. They run the show every day.
Right.
They sent a letter to someone who works here. Let me ask you, among all of the people who work here at the radio station,
mm-hmm.
who would you say has the most to do with the day-to-day operations of this show?
The most to do?
The most to do. Now, keep in mind that, for the most part, it's self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
That,
well, I mean, outside of, you know, you and Charlie, and Rob, and me, I mean, that's who you would send a letter to.
You'll have to widen the scope.
Well, then logically, you would go to our immediate supervisor, a guy like Jeremy Coleman, who's the program director.
You
would go to the general manager.
No. It's within that circle. Someone who works... All right, let me tell you. It's Jim McClure.
Jim McClure, the gentleman who wants to be program director.
So let me read you the letter. And this, you'll be as pissed off as me, and we're going to call the station in Green Bay and set them straight.
Okay.
The letter comes to the attention of Jim McClure. Dear Jim, and it's from Jeff McCarthy, who's the vice president of WNFL in Green Bay.
Okay, very good.
Dear Jim, just a quick note to say thanks for the time and attention you showed Dave Edwards and me. The tour of your facility was great. And now we have seen the wizard behind the curtain when it comes to Don and Mike.
They're talking to Jim?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
The wizard behind the curtain.
Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Okay. Right. I don't know what the hell he told those people from Green Bay.
Right. But, I mean, read the sentence to me again, because okay. I just want to make sure I get it in the right context.
The tour of the facility was great. And now we have seen the wizard behind the curtain when it comes to Don and Mike.
Do you think that they were possibly just talking about seeing, you know, you do the show?
I don't think so. The letter says, Dear Jim, just a quick note to say thanks for the time and attention you,
right,
Jim, showed Dave Edwards and me. The tour of the facility was great, and now we've seen the wizard behind the curtain when it comes to Don and Mike.
Is there anything else in there?
Yeah, the rest is all just like, if you want to come to Green Bay for a game this year, let us know.
This is Jim they're talking about.
Yes, let us know in advance. We'll make the arrangements. If you have any ideas for promotions, call us. Let us know how we can assist you. Don't hesitate to make the call. The rest of our stay in D.C. was fun. The cab ride back was a lot easier than on the way out anyway. Thank you for taking the time to show us around. Hope to see you again. Best wishes, Jeff McCarthy, Vice President.
So, are you thinking that perhaps Jim was there saying, well, I make most of the decisions.
Yes.
But the work around the show.
Yes.
I certainly hope he didn't make that error in judgment.
How else could you read this letter?
Yes, well, I'm referred to in many circles as the wizard behind the Don and Mike show. Mr. Wizard. They call me Mr. Wizard.
Mr. Wizard, Jim McClure.
Sizzle, 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 throw.
Where did you get this letter from, Rob? It's addressed to Jim McClure.
It was in the production room.
Okay, so the letter was just sitting around today.
Okay.
That's how we came across the letter.
You know, unless it's a poorly written letter, it sure sounds like they're calling Jim McClure.
The wizard behind the curtain.
The wizard. Jim McClure, who the last time I checked has zip.
Nothing.
To do with this program.
Nothing.
He basically comes in here when there are strippers here.
Yeah, he videotapes when girls come in and take their clothes off.
Right, that's right.
That's all Jim McClure does.
And I don't think that the fault lies with these gentlemen. I believe the fault lies with Mr. McClure. That's where you're going to get your answers.
I believe that these gentlemen are just regurgitating what they have been told.
Now, and I would also say that, you know, you could find out from them what Jim said. You know, like
that's
what
exactly where
was.
We're going with this next.
Sure. Because if you went to Jim, there would be, oh, I don't think they're...
Randy Ball.
Based on fantasy football, let's just remember he's a master manipulator.
Right. The tour of the facility was great, and now we have seen the wizard behind the curtain when it comes to Don and Mike.
About 5:03, I go down to the office and tell Don to go into the studio. Shortly thereafter, I tell Mike to go down to the studio, too. Then I lay out the tapes for him to play, and we go over their content. God, I hope it's not anything like that.
I tell them to take phone calls for a while, and then about 2 hours into the show, you know, to play a game. And then I always come down and remind them to do the news.
But each and every day, Don says to me as I'm walking out, thank you, you're a wizard.
You're a wizard.
You're a wizard.
You're a wizard. The gizzard. That's what it is, not the wizard. All right, we will get to the bottom of this and take more of your phone calls and talk lots more about Ellen's boobs in just a moment.
So it's going great today, guys.
Taking a time out.
Hey, American Midwest. What are your plans for St. Patrick's Day? Green beer? Corned beef and cabbage? How about a Las Vegas-style show? You heard it right. Don and Mike are coming to Wichita to kick a little can there. Friday, March 17th. For the first time ever, Don and Mike bring their legendary all-new Las Vegas-style show to the Cotillion. It's free to get in, but you gotta be 21 years of age. The fun starts at 8 Central. Call 316-722-4201 for information or direction. St. Patty's Day with the Radio Guys. A splendid time is guaranteed for all. Aaron Gobrales. Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. Oh, is this a star-studded event or what?
Continuing to broadcast under the Line One regime, the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Big week on the show. On Wednesday, we got some guy from Fox. Some guy's got a new show on Fox. One name comedian.
Gallagher?
No. Guy's supposed to be funny as hell.
Jared's on?
No, that's two.
Oh, sorry about that.
Has his own TV show. It's going to be on in the Malcolm in the Middle time slot. Mm. He's coming in on Wednesday. I don't know who he is.
I think he's in the paper today.
Is he in the paper today?
Titus.
That's his name. He's coming in Wednesday. Also Wednesday, we're being interviewed by some guy who writes a magazine about celebrity cereals. Cereals that celebrities like.
Oh, cool.
Yes, and we're actually going to be included in that. That's Wednesday. Thursday on the show, the return of What Would You Do for $1,500. We
Excellent.
Had some great entries already. Friday, off to Los Angeles to play ourselves on King of Queens.
Wonderful.
Now, before we figure out what's going on with Big Gum Jim, a couple more women and guys are calling to enter the contest. On Thursday, hello, Terry.
Yes, how are you, Don?
I'm doing great. What would you do for $1,500?
Well, I have a video of myself and two other men having sex, and I would like for you to see it. I also want to bring my husband in and let him see it.
Your husband has not seen it yet?
No.
Now, how... Explain the husband thing. How has this been kept from your husband for so long?
Just never told him.
You never told him.
Mm-mm.
And have you?
That has the potential to be an explosive situation.
Yeah, really. Does your husband know you've had sex with these two men?
He knows I have thought about it.
I mean, is this someone that you've had sex with these two men while you've been married?
Yes.
And you videotaped it?
Yes.
And why? I'm totally confused. Do you want to drop this on your husband, like on our show?
Yeah. for $1,500.
Well, you know, it's no stranger than I was watching Maury Povich today. Mm-hmm. His show is the bottom feeder mm-hmm. of all shows, at least on Jerry Springer. I know I've said this a million times, so I'll keep it brief. Jerry Springer comes out and says, I'm going to bring you trash, and this is what I'm known for, so enjoy the trash I'm bringing you.
Right.
Maury Povich does the same show, but he tries to be a level above Jerry Springer, where he mocks, like, that he's shocked at these people and their behavior, even though he's
right.
having them on.
Right.
Today he had guys on. I had to stop because they had women who were with guys who they shouldn't be with. And while the woman was talking to Maury, and he was pretending to be sympathetic and listen,
right.
like, oh, that's awful, that's awful. They're putting on the bottom of the screen, the visual, makes her perform oral sex at 4 a.m. Won't let her leave the house.
They're running the crawler.
Yeah, yeah. All these things.
Just to jam the shocking information.
All these things that this guy does.
Right.
Won't let her have friends. Won't let her go to the doctor. Won't let her use the truck to go to the grocery store. Makes her walk to the grocery store. So they bring the guy out,
right?
And the guy comes out, and like the audience, and the last thing that they mention that they put on the bottom of the screen. Hates black people.
Oh, okay. So we get the audience.
And, of course, the Maury Povich audience is 98% black.
Mm-hmm.
So they come out, and it's like a cascade of boos.
And the guy comes out, like, does he shake his fist in the air all proud and stuff?
He struts out.
Defiant.
He struts out, and he sits down, and Maury says, Maury Povich shakes his hand. And right away, people from the audience scream at Maury Povich, how could you shake his hand, man? What's wrong with you shake his hand? And Maury Povich goes, I don't. He's addressing the audience now, not the people watching. I don't even know why I shook your hand. You're an awful guy. Why am I shaking your hand?
And because you came on my show.
And the guy goes on, this redneck guy says, listen, I'm the master in my home. Anytime she don't like my rules, she can leave. And Maury says, really, she can leave whenever she wants? Yes. What about the sex thing? If I want oral sex at 3 a.m., I'll get it. If I want it at 4 a.m., I'll get it. She give me oral sex when I want it. What about you won't let her leave the house?
Uh-huh.
She don't need to leave the house. I'm here. I provide for her, for my kids. Her job is to be a mother, to take care of my house, and to give me oral sex when I need it.
Oh, God.
And the point in all of this is... like,
yeah,
this...
get to the point.
Okay. Oh, shut up, Terry. Like, with this woman calling us, I don't think there's any level of something that people won't do
mm-hmm.
to get on the radio or to get on television. And I think when you go on the Maury Povich show, you don't get paid anything.
Right.
You get paid like a standard after fee.
Well, there was an article about that, too, about people now in this day and age that everybody wants to be, you know, have their 15 minutes, and they'll do whatever it takes to be on the TV or on the radio.
And the question was, why would this woman bring down a videotape of her having sex with two other guys
right.
and show it to her husband?
Well, I just wanted to get to the, you know, the relationship here. I mean, is this, you know, when we play some of our lying games, you know, this is somebody who wants either to break up the relationship or what?
No, it'll. I'm sure it'll be fine. We've talked about
I'm
it.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get. You're not giving us enough information. I'll tell you that right now. You're really not. There's something missing here. I can feel it. I can sense it that you're not telling us the whole story.
Honey, how could things be fine if you're going to bring your husband down on a national radio show and show him a videotape of you having sex with two other guys?
Because I think he'll like it.
You think. See, I'm sure it'll work well. I think he'll like it. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why have you not, if you think he'll like it, then how come you have not shared this with him before?
It was just done recently.
Well, would define recently?
About 2 weeks ago.
Okay. I'm just speaking for myself. I wouldn't like it if Frida sat down and showed me a tape of two other guys boning her.
I just thought I'd give it a try.
No, see, that's not good enough. You're not being honest with us. You're really not. I mean, if you're doing this to, you know, because you just want to be on the radio, that's all well and good. But I'm telling you right now that you're leaving out some information here.
No, I gave you everything.
Mm.
But that's okay. You guys have a great day. I love your radio show.
Okay. Thank you, Terry.
Mm.
She gave up too quickly there.
Yeah. And that's weird, too.
I'd like to see the tape, though.
He was a whore.
Yeah, I would love to see
it. So would
tape.
I. Love to see it very much.
She wants to drop off the tape. That's fine, too.
Sure. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio guys.
But you know, it's just, we do a lot of stuff on the show, but that's the one level that we don't get into.
Yeah.
We don't get, like, when I just described it with Maury Povich,
mm-hmm.
that's like the only notch above where we'll go.
Right.
We'll do just about anything, but we don't want to get involved like in the middle of people getting divorced over screwing other people and stuff like that.
You know, I got, who knows whether that lady was, you know, whether anything she said was legit, but I'll tell you right now, you know, sometimes when somebody's going to do that, oh, I think he'll like it. What she's not telling us is that she's ready to dump the guy and she's going to, she hates, there's so much hatred there that she wants to do it in, you know, in national radio. I mean, that's well, you know, a plausible situation.
Can't get $1,500.
Very strange.
Hello, Chris.
Don't want to see
radio guys, what's happening?
Hi, what would you do for the money?
I'm willing to come into the studio if I can find a doctor that will do it and have a vasectomy in your studio.
I don't think the studio is clean enough for you to have a vasectomy.
I don't think the studio is clean enough to even sit here and
do a show
and actually read the newspaper.
It's actually a pretty simple process. It takes like 15 minutes and like... I don't even know if they do it like in the operating room or anything like that.
Well, Chris, I tell you, if you research it and you can find an accredited doctor who will come down to these filthy studios and give you a vasectomy on the show.
How are you doing down
there? You are more than welcome to.
All right. Really excited about doing this procedure here. I just got one eye.
It's a doctor from the Cannonball Run.
This won't hurt a bit. Let me just put this glove on with my finger. There you go. I can do the whole process with my finger.
Thank you.
I've got a very long fingernail.
Hello, Chris.
Hey guys, how you doing? I've been a big fan for a long time, man.
Thank you.
Hey, me and my buddy Ash, we're thinking up something. And we're thinking, how about licking Dennis's feet clean, giving him a pedicure?
No. Already been done. We've already had a woman who, in a previous show, ate dog food off Dennis's feet. Let me just say that the topic of Dennis Murphy is covered.
It's covered because a woman is going to suck Dennis's stump while he's soaking his feet, that another guy's going to drink the soak water.
Yeah, so the topic of Dennis has been covered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got one more idea. Can I share it?
Yes.
All right, how about River Dancing Naked to the Hamster Dance theme song? Have you guys heard that song yet?
No, I have no idea.
River Dancing, about? Like doing that Irish dancing?
Yeah, exactly.
While you're naked to some sort of song?
Yeah, my friends say I'm pretty good at it.
So, listen, if you know a girl who wants to do that, that would be great.
Okay.
Well,
this underlying homosexual theme here.
Yes. Thank you.
Very.
Yep. Bye-bye.
I want to river dance naked to the hamster song while there's a mousetrap on my turgid thing.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, he just shot me out of the water with a Dennis Murphy prohibition here. I was willing to eat his toenail clippings, but if Dennis Murphy's off the table, totally lacking any originality or creativity.
No, please, come on. We know our audience is better than this. You're better than this, sir.
I'll try again.
You're better. Thank you.
All right, let's talk to Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Hello.
Hi, What will you do?
I'm hairy, okay?
Okay, good.
So I will shave my body hair. Okay, you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got the concept so far.
I will supply a tub with mouthwash. After I shave myself or have someone else shave me, I will get in the tub.
I believe he's referring to the fact of the high alcohol content in the mouthwash would cause him to endure great pain.
Oh, no thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, I will burn for you.
Too messy.
No, thank you.
Today's the day after Sunday. Hi.
What's that guy?
He visits once in a while.
Not in Mike's show. Hello.
Hi. I want to get on the $1,500 contest.
Okay, last call, really. What do you want to do for the money?
I don't know if I can say it on the air. I can suck my own penis.
I'm afraid that's been offered before.
Who is this, Morton Anderson of the Atlanta Falcons? All right, goodbye.
Been offered before, sir.
Goodbye. Robbie, get Toya, please. Let's find out exactly who we have signed up for this contest. I think we actually may have four, five, maybe six acts that we firmed up today.
Have some good ones on the list. The problem is that the vast majority of them were people that were not going to do their little contest. But we've got a good little show with the people that were allowed to participate.
Okay, and we'll continue this tomorrow. And maybe even into Wednesday.
Well, where's Toya?
Hi, Toya. You got a list? You got a list of people who have signed up for this?
We have 7 people so far.
Can you tell us what they're doing? Do you know off the top of your head? Do you have it written down?
We have a guy that wants to shave Don and Mike into his head. Mm-hmm. A woman who wants to pierce her...
clitoris.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then we have...
you guys going to eat the goldfish?
Exactly, like 50 goldfish or something like that.
Then there's the guy who's going to drink Dennis's foot water, that's 4.
Yeah.
The woman who's going to suck Dennis's stump, that's 5.
Yes.
So what are the other 2?
And then there are 2 more.
She does not know.
But I would be glad to come back and let you know what they are.
Okay, but we have 7 confirmed already.
Yes, we do.
All right, thank you.
Cool.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Toya.
Did you do your homework this weekend?
No, she didn't.
Okay. One of these weekends,
she'll come in and tell you.
She's going to do that homework.
I did it.
Okay, let's call the station in Green Bay.
Going to find out just why they wrote a letter to Jim McClure telling him he's the wizard behind the Don and Mike show. Of all the people here, kind of a strange choice.
I don't think it's a secret that the show is pretty much self-inclusive. Mm-hmm. You know, that I come up with the outline for what we're going to do. I play it off mic, and we go without a script.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's pretty much...
Radio group?
Then we run it by Jim McClure.
Yeah. Hello, this is Don and Mike. We're on the radio right now. May we please speak to Jeff McCarthy?
Sure. Just a moment, please.
Thank you.
Oh, his line's busy.
Well, why don't you tell him it's 2 people on the radio and maybe you can bust in for us.
Okay, we'll try that just a second.
Okay, right.
And you're very, very kind, but tell the truth. You come up with the outline for the show. I get here at 2 minutes before 3 o'clock and we just roll with it.
Yes, but still.
You're the brains behind this show.
The point is,
a pretty face.
If there's anybody who's involved besides me, it's you.
That's true.
And then, that's it.
That's the way it works.
That's it. I mean, I have meetings with Charlie Brunhill, who takes care of, you know,
really
stuff that a producer has to do.
I'd love to know what Jim said to make these guys, you know, label him the wizard.
The wizard of the Don and Mike show.
Pay no attention to that McClure behind the curtain.
Hi, this is Jeff.
Jeff, hi. This is Don and Mike.
Don and Mike?
Hello.
Hi.
We're calling Green Bay's Packer Station, WNFL, one of our newer affiliates. And we were wondering about a letter you sent to Jim McClure.
Hello?
Yes, I recall that.
Okay, I have a copy of the letter in front of me that reads, Dear Jim, just a quick note to say thanks for the time and attention you showed Dave Edwards and me. The tour of the facility was great, and now we've seen the wizard behind the curtain when it comes to Don and Mike.
Did Jim say anything to you guys that would indicate that he's the wizard behind the show?
No, we met you guys. No, we saw where you operate now.
Oh, you mean you saw the show?
Yeah, Jim. Okay. No. Jim wouldn't have done that.
So you instantly knew when you talked to Jim that he was just worthless.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
But, you know he has nothing to do with our show.
I could tell that when Don, you didn't come out of the studio to meet us.
Oh, that was the day that they...
Oh, that's the day.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha. All right, well, I'm sorry about that. I'm just having a very busy day.
Hey, I fully understood that.
Very busy day. All right, so just for the record, Jim McClure, the man that you met, has nothing to do with this radio show. The only thing he has to do with it is that his office happens to be 2 offices away from ours.
Right, he got us in the building.
There you go, all right.
He got us in the building.
Then you understand.
Yes.
Okay.
Fully.
All right, well, great. Thank you, then.
Hey, it was great to see you guys.
And listen, this offer that you write to Jim about coming to Green Bay for a game, why would you want to bring Jim McClure to Green Bay for a game?
Well, we had tickets. I mean, you know what? The offer stands for you guys.
Okay, thank you. Very nice.
But he told us that you had no interest in football. So that, you know, he said he would take your tickets, and that's how it works.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for straightening it out.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
That really was.
Sure was.
Go, Pat, go!
Once again, not as bad as hearing, the bum darts, but I'll tell you, once again, uncomfortable on a few different levels.
All right. So maybe I read the letter the wrong way.
You're the wizard, okay? That's what they're talking about. They looked through the glass,
and
they saw the wizard behind the glass.
But when I read this to you, didn't it make it sound like Jim McClure told them he was the wizard?
It could be interpreted that way, yes.
Hello, Becky.
Hey. Hi, Don and Mike. How are you?
Hi, Becky.
I love you guys.
We love you.
I just want to say I watched the show last night. I thought I was going to watch Sopranos last night, but came on to Ellen, and I really liked her boobs. I really did. And I think I want to be a lesbian now.
It's another call about Ellen's boobs.
I'd love to touch her boobs, too.
This is a woman who's thinking about joining the life based on Ellen's boobs.
Wait till you see
like
them tonight.
Teams, I think.
I'm wondering what's going to happen to me physiologically when I see those boobs. I guarantee you that won't happen. Unless, you know what, if it does, you'll be the first one I call. I will let you know. Don,
it happened. You're not going to believe this, man. I'm watching Ellen, and I'm turgid. Totally turgid. Thanks so much, buddy. I got to go. What a great heads up. You should see me now. I'm fully aroused. You wouldn't believe this. Like more than I ever have been before. Thanks so much. Hey, Mike, so am I.
Yeah, you're watching. I bet you're watching it again tonight.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I will watch it again.
Oh, my God.
And Rob, you tape it tonight, please, okay?
Okay.
Tape it, and then tomorrow we'll do it frame by frame.
You know, tape it, freeze frame it, get the still, put it into a computer, put it on a scanner, make it into poster size, bring it in here.
Ellen's beautiful breasts.
I really think those have to be captured.
Wait until you see them.
It's terrific.
This little girl had knockers.
She does.
I was sitting there watching this movie on HBO, and then bingo.
Hello, Craig.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
I was wondering, you know, I don't have cable. You know, could you describe those luscious...
I don't know which is sadder,
The
fact that you want us to describe the breasts or the fact that you don't have cable TV.
I'm cheap.
And I'll throw one other thing in here. You have, in great detail, described her breasts.
Oh,
this
yes.
man was paying
yes.
attention to the entire show.
I have. My many pepperoni references.
Mm-hmm.
The color, the texture.
Wow.
And now I'm enjoying you describing it again.
The deep brownish-red hue.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's Viagra, and then there's describing Ellen's breasts.
Thank God I've got my new beach towel.
Big and round. About the size of one of those brand-new gold dollars that we saw on TV today.
With the weird commercial of George Washington's talking head.
Mike and I saw the funniest commercial today up in the office.
Really well done. A little creepy, but it's really well done.
You know, it's a George Washington face off the $1 bill.
Right.
Except they have him like, it's a body, a regular guy body.
Mm-hmm.
They got him driving a car and walking around. But it's that George Washington face that's just looking one way.
And clutch cargo mouth.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The mouth, like on Conan O'Brien when they make the mouth move. And he's driving around going... I really like these new $1 coins.
And he blinks.
You know, his eyes blink, too. It's weird. It
scared me.
It's great.
It's neat.
Oh, no. Richard.
How you guys doing?
Hey, Richard. We're doing great.
It's great. Hey, I don't know if you guys saw this afterwards. Obviously, all your rest of your listeners weren't watching. It said body double for Mr. Generous in the credits last night.
It actually said body double?
It actually said body double.
There is no way. She may have had a body double on a long shot, but when she's laying in bed with Sharon Stone...
You see her face and her boobs?
Yes, you do.
Well, then it's not a body double.
You absolutely do, but I don't know, some of the scenes, like some of the heavier scenes...
Yes, and some of this have, where there are some scenes where Ellen and Sharon Stone are really
going at it,
getting it on, and perhaps they did use a body double. But in the scenes I'm talking about, where Ellen is laying on her back in bed, there is no doubt you see that big ugly pug face of hers, and then right beneath it, the most beautiful set of globes you've ever seen.
Well, how are you talking about Ellen's...
Just checking my watch.
About...
I want to go home and see it right now.
What was that, Richard?
Let's talk about Sharon's, though.
Sharon's don't compare.
You're serious?
They're nice. They're nice. They're nice, but not as nice as Ellen's.
I disagree.
This is the first person that's disagreed.
Okay, well, you're entitled to your opinion.
Well, all right.
Opinions, are, like,
well,
opinions are like cowboy hats.
Say that again?
I've heard that one.
No, I don't know what I was saying.
I like it, though.
Opinions are like a-holes, and I was thinking, horse hockey, everybody looks good in a cowboy.
It came out of nowhere, huh?
Kind of disjointed.
We all just kind of looked at you for a second. But I like it. I think you ought to keep it. To me, it sounds better. Opinions are just like cowboy hats.
Well, see, now that I've arranged it, though, you kind of, I'm sure no one else listening understood.
I am.
But you understood what I was saying.
I've been with you a very long time.
That's it all. Often is on this show.
Opinions are just like cowboy hats. Opinions are like Mercedes-Benz cars. Mercedes-Benz car.
You want leather? Buy some shoes.
Hi, this is Hans. I'll put some leather shoes in there for you, okay? I gotta go. I'm very busy.
Hello, Doug.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, you make me sit and watch them six carpet crunchers at nine, and these aren't spectacular.
Hey, listen, don't waste your time on my account.
And, sir, open your mind up, please.
Yeah.
Welcome the lesbian community into that narrow little mind of yours.
Lesbians are great, but listen, don't do it on my account. You know, do what you would ever do tonight. You know, whether it's go on the internet and look at your teenage porn or sit around and pull your pod, whatever it is that you would normally do, sit and eat peanut butter with your fingers, whatever you would normally do, don't put it on me. Watch if you want to see the most spectacular breasts in your life.
I do. I want to see them.
All right, well, then, you know, incorporate it into your regular activities.
I'll try to pencil it in.
Good. All right, thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Pencil it in. So right under Eat Pudding with Ham.
More show is coming right up.
This is the dog.
This is not my regular guy.
Not mine either.
Hello?
I don't want him.
No, and especially at the end when he says hello.
Does anybody want to claim him?
No. Anybody want him? Rob, you don't have one.
I don't want one.
I think we have to put him down.
I saw Kenny Couric this morning.
I think we have to put him to sleep. You did not.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
I work at a donut shop and I was watching it.
You work at a donut shop. That's the first thing you said, I believe.
Oh, fantastic. Boy, these donuts taste like urine.
Yep.
I'd like a chocolate donut with hair, please. All right, what did her bung look like?
Oh, it was like an elephant. I mean, it was like a tunnel.
He's so totally lying.
Right. It was like an elephant. It was like a tunnel.
There you go.
The only thing that might be true in this entire conversation, you really do work in a donut shop, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you remember... the greatest hidden camera of all time when they had the hidden camera at Dunkin' Donuts when they showed that girl putting her hand down her pants, scratching herself, and then reaching right up to touch the donuts.
It was the most disgusting thing. And it looked like the type of woman who was, you know, had her own bakery down there. Big time.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great, thanks.
Caught a little bit of what you were talking about the Kenny Couric deal on the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was getting ready for work this morning, I really wasn't watching TV, but I heard it. They were actually more or less talking about it today. And I think they're talking about actually showing the video tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll watch that.
Yeah, I can't.
She's already had the procedure, though, right?
I believe she had it last week, from what they're saying, unless I misunderstood.
You're not really going to be able to see her butt, are you?
No.
It's just internal. They claim that they don't want to gross anybody out, but I would advise not to be eating cereal or anything when they show.
You know something, when you go down somebody's throat and they show you that, or you watch any of those things on the Learning Channel, it's exactly what you're going to see.
It looks like a radar screen.
Yeah, it looks like you're going through a tunnel.
Like if you're at a big tall building at an airport where all the guys are in control.
The terminal?
Yes. You know what the round things they look at with the dots on it?
No, it doesn't look radar. Like, you're going to see a TV picture.
Yeah. Now, what I saw when the guy did mine, they had a little monitor. It was a regular TV.
Right.
But it was a round picture. I mean, it was a square.
Did you see the inside? Did you see your guts inside? Did you see pink?
No, I didn't. Oh. I didn't see that. What I saw looked like a radar screen in which there were different colors. There was like a green area and there was a red area. But it's not like somebody put an X-ray machine up to me and there were perfectly formed body parts that I saw.
A colonoscopy is when they take a television camera,
right,
and they go inside and they look at every they take a TV picture like you'd see at a football game, and they take it of the inside of your colon.
Here's what it looked like. So this is what I'm seeing. Okay. It's round like this. And I see stuff like this, here, and here. And as they're turning corners, he says, he says, okay, there's some intestine. That's good. Now we're going to go up higher. And at one point, he actually touches my rib cage. And then I see something that doesn't look like what I'm eating, a rack of ribs. It doesn't, on the screen, it doesn't look like that.
You know what I'm going to do? I'll show you. I really can't describe it adequately. What I'll do is I'll bring you in. Well, what I have is four still pictures of where the actual video was frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me this one picture. So it shows you. And that's what the doctor's looking at. And I'll show you what I had done, and I'll see how it matches up. They didn't give you any solid pictures of the procedure, because that's what
they did give me two pictures when I left. But
From what you're describing?
Yeah.
It's not like I could look at that picture and say, oh, yeah, there's an intestine. There's, you know, there's my kidney.
No.
Well, I mean, what I'm seeing, what you're seeing is the inside of it, and they inflate it with air, and then they go in with a picture, and then they take a look at everything. And I'll show you, I have a very nice picture of my polyp, too, before they hacked it off.
It's a pink tunnel. It is like looking down somebody's throat. It's just a pink tunnel that you're seeing a photograph of.
But the picture that I have, yes, at one point when I was lying there, it was pink,
mm-hmm.
but then they flicked a button, and then the colors became different as they, like, turned corners and stuff.
Are you sure that wasn't the medication that they had given you to relax you for the procedure?
No,
did they give you an IV when you had yours done?
Yes.
Yes, they did.
Hello, Walter.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi, Walter.
How are you?
Hi, we're great.
Okay, Don, you were describing that you saw something that looked like a radar screen.
Right.
I'm an X-ray technician, and what you saw was called a fluoroscopy. It's a moving X-ray that it's not in color like Mike was saying. That one is pink. This one that you had seen was kind of like a grayish color on a TV monitor with a circle.
Yes, that's exactly what I just drew for Mike.
That's exactly what I was saying. What's a fluoroscopy?
It's just a moving X-ray. It takes live pictures under X-ray, opposed to a regular X-ray, which is just on the film. This one shows moving parts, if you will.
So you got a fluoroscopy.
I get, well, they shoved it up my ass.
And you had to have an enema.
Yes, and I had to have the enema that I had to hold in and stuff.
What's the difference between a fluoroscopy and a colonoscopy?
I don't know exactly what the difference is. I just know that the test that Don had... let me pull over to the side.
Are you an X-ray technician? Do you work in a medical facility?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Just kind of curious there. You're kind of hemming it on there. I mean, if you're in the operating room, you ought to know what you're talking about.
What's that?
Well, this guy has described exactly what I was just describing to you.
Yeah, I mean,
with the pictures and stuff that I had drawn you.
If you're there for the procedure, it's just, I don't think that's an unreasonable question. What's the difference? What's the difference between a fluoroscopy and a colonoscopy?
What hospital do you?
I'm not familiar with that procedure.
What is a fluoroscopy?
It is basically a moving X-ray. It shows, do they give you any barium, Don?
Yes, I had to take an enema, yes, before I had this.
Okay, and I believe that
this is funny. You know what's funny is how serious we all are? I looked at you and I looked at Buzz and I'm the same way. We're all like really listening to this guy. Really, okay. I mean, just super serious. And we're talking about things being stuck up our butts.
Enough of this. Okay, you know, the question was, so I may have had a different procedure than you had.
You had an oscopy and you heard oscopy and you probably thought it was, you know, the same thing. I mean, oscopy is oscopy. That means if I'm not mistaken.
They shove this thing in my ass. I know for sure, my friend.
When you hear the word oscopy, if I'm not mistaken, they're going inside.
That's right. That's exactly what it means.
That's the way it is.
That I know. And
I mean,
I know
there are all sorts of different oscopies, too.
And I know, I remember distinctly when he tapped it against my rib. He was going in my ass,
right.
Tapped my rib, said, can you feel that? Look at the monitor. And that's
I think? I might be wrong about this also, but I think the reason you got that instead of the camera,
right,
is because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. Remember when they said, did you prepare for this? Remember they gave you the quickie, and then that's probably what they do when they can't get a good picture of
you. You're right, because I didn't do that stuff that you had to do.
Yeah,
drink that poop juice.
Which is basically cleaning, you know, so you have a lovely teenage pink colon.
Hello, Pete.
Hey, Don, the difference is a fluoroscopy is done with a fluoroscope, which is a moving X-ray, and a colonoscopy is done with a sigmoidoscope, which usually has a video camera at the end.
Bingo. All right.
So, Mike, you would have seen, like, a live-action, lovely color picture of your colon.
That's it, right.
Whereas Don saw a moving X-ray that sort of describes the moving bodies to you as you go along.
Oh.
And that's the difference between the two.
But just so we're on record here, both of these things go up your bum.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
They're both very lovely procedures.
Wonderful.
I wouldn't recommend it. Not like I had a great time having it done.
God, I hope I never have to have the one you have.
I
just don't want anything more up there anymore.
I told you, I didn't feel a thing.
Right.
I was laying there the whole time going, how are you guys doing?
First one I had when I had the colonoscopy with pictures, too, I did not feel it either, which is very strange.
Hello, Tony.
I did feel it, and I liked it.
Tony.
Yeah. I did wake up this morning, and I was watching the Today Show.
or whatever Katie's on this morning, and I did see a part of the show where it showed the inside. I think it was a sigmoidoscopy because the camera was inside. It was like a tunnel, like a pink tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Inside Katie's pink tunnel.
Oh, my God.
Hello, Chuck.
Chuck. Mother Chucker.
I think Chuck is having a rigid sigmoidoscopy right now.
Chuck?
All right.
That's a real small procedure.
Bye-bye.
I remember reading about that, too. That's where they go in another hole.
Oh, that I never want done.
Oh, God forbid.
I'd rather die than have some guy stick a tube in my wiener.
I would... I would really be ready to jump off.
That's
the
what you're talking about, right?
I've been there. I've had that done.
Yeah, I know, Buzz.
Sure. You had that done? Sure. Well, when I woke up from my emergency surgery in the hospital, there was one already in it. And once it's already in, you know, if they put it in when you're unconscious, you don't know, you don't care.
Jesus.
And if you wake up, it's already there, you know, you don't care.
Oh, my God. You get all goofy.
But the worst is when I had the test before I got married. And I know I've mentioned this before, but I had to go to the county health department, and a very attractive young nurse took what was like a Q-tip, like a wooden Q-tip or something. And, yeah, I know. And slid it up there to take a little culture. Oh, I know.
Where is this, at the courthouse?
What? No.
I've never heard of that. I've been married twice and they've never stuck a Q-tip on my dick.
Health department laws vary from state to state, county to county. Where I came from, I had to have that test.
What is that a test for? Like the black plague?
They're taking a culture for venereal disease.
Venereal disease.
Jesus. God, it's better in Virginia. All you got to do is have $5. That's all you need. Jesus, Buzz.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't know you had to do that like for a marriage license, but that, I bet I don't doubt that for a second.
That was not pleasant.
Oh!
Man, oh man. Are they the same kind of Q-tips that we use to clean the tape heads here?
Exactly. With the splinters and everything.
No,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding about that.
Oh, my God.
It was rigid, whatever it was.
Oh, Buzz.
You weren't looking when she was down there? You know, it's one of those, like a train wreck. You know, you look away.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
Did she go far inside?
It sure seemed like it.
Oh, Buzz. Oh, my God. Oh. I would say to my fiancé, let's go to Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I said, let's get married anywhere except Kansas, where they want to take a Q-tip up my thing.
Oh, man. I didn't know it was going to happen until she did it.
Why do they call it a culture? What's cultural about that?
How could you let her do that? I mean,
to get married,
you're sitting
I guess.
There, you're pulling down your pants.
To prove my love for my bride.
Did she say those famous words, this is going to be a little uncomfortable?
Yes, she did. Okay. Yes, it was.
And that always to me is like, run for your life.
At one point, you're sitting there, and she pulls out this Q-tip, and she puts it inside your wiener.
Uh-huh.
At what point do you noodle this through and go, Jesus, she's putting a Q-tip in my wiener?
When it started to hurt.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
but it's over very quickly.
I got news for you, though. That procedure, when it's normally done, it's not supposed to hurt unless you have a problem.
Oh,
she was very attractive. Did I mention that?
I cannot imagine anything worse. I really can't.
I love it when we have Doctor's Corner on this show. I really do.
The best.
That sounds like stuff that the Nom did to John McCain when he was in those death camps.
That's right. VD tests, a very, very significant form of torture.
Hello, Gene.
Yes.
Hi, Gene.
How you doing?
Get in hygiene.
Yes, that joke again.
I love that joke.
I always laugh. I've been laughing at it for years.
Hi, Gene, what do you want?
Hey, the test that Buzz had is for venereal disease, and it's usually chlamydia.
Oh.
Ah, chlamydia. That's great with
pass?
A little marinara sauce.
Did he pass?
Yes, I did.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
For all that, I hope so.
Would you like the white or red sauce on the chlamydia?
Now, Buzz, I know we joke about how old you are, and I know you take offense at this. Isn't some of this the fact that you are so old, and that this test was maybe given, like...
Back in the dark ages.
Before the advent of when you could just give some kind of a sample of
they could probably get the same sample from, you know, like saliva now.
Well, you know, it's really backward in some places. In D.C., they still don't test for AIDS. They test for syphilis. That's the only test you have to get married in D.C., so it's backward. They just have
a... But they don't stick a Q-tip up your wiener.
They do if you ask nicely. Hello, Brian.
Yeah, I paid extra.
That's Brian. Right. Rob couldn't get married in D.C. because he had the syphilis.
Brian.
Yeah, Don. Yes. I had that test probably done about 2 years ago.
You mean you let them stick a stick up your thing?
No, I didn't even know they were going to do it. I went in there to get tested,
just to see if all's all clean and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit you on the chair, and the nurse comes in, and she checks you out, and checks you all around. And all of a sudden, she just, like, does it.
Yeah.
I mean, just, like, does it. It's the most uncomfortable feeling in the world.
Well, at least it's a Q-tip. Way back when they used to do it with pipe cleaners.
Oh, no.
You know that little metal part.
Yeah. Hello, Scott. Scott, hello.
Scott, we can't hear you.
I was in Korea.
Oh, dear.
Scott, something about being in Korea. That's all I know.
Scott's just had the procedure done.
Thank you, Scott.
He's breaking up.
Thank you, Scott.
Damn.
Oh, Jesus. Hello, Don and Mike show.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One Notre Dame Radio. Next time you seek sexual pleasure, look deep, deep, deep inside the anus for all your sexual needs. I do.
You know, that guy, you're just not good enough to make it as a regular caller.
No, please don't call again, all right?
Just not good enough. Hello, Don and Mike show. Last call. Hello.
Hey, turn it down. I'm going to be on.
Turn it down. You are on right now. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Buddy.
You guys kick ass.
Hey, turn it. When it comes to talking about sticking things in your bung and up your ween,
right,
we are number one.
Absolutely.
You know, I might share an experience with Buzz, the Foley catheter.
Oh, yeah.
My appendix done about a year ago, and they take a tube and stick it up there,
yeah.
And it goes all the way into the...
Oh, into the bladder, right?
Right, all the way.
Yeah, and it was a male nurse, too, to make matters worse.
Or better.
Well, what's fun is when they come into your room and you're conscious, and they say, okay, we're going to take it out now.
Oh,
That's always a surprise.
That's right, and then they have a little game as to who can take it out the fastest.
Right.
It's like a tug of war.
It's like a tug of war, and they go from room to room to see who can take it out the fastest. Yeah.
Sure, there's a little burn factor. They recycle them later as bendy straws in the hospital. Mommy, my lemonade tastes funny. Be quiet. Just look at that fabulous bendy straw they gave you.
Isn't that nice? This is the best hospital ever.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye. All right, well, we will watch the Today Show tomorrow. To see Katie Couric's pink tunnel.
My knees are just ready to buckle after that entire segment. I'll tell you that right now. Man, oh man.
National whatever month.
Right.
I guess we're all clear, though, on every procedure we've all had. One thing we can say, we've all had something done.
Yeah, right. We've all had something stuck in us.
We sure have.
That's right.
Except for you, Rob.
Not yet.
Wait till after the show today.
Yeah. And they say you're supposed to do that like when you're about 40, Rob, but in your case, I do it a little earlier.
I won't live that long, so I'll get it done sooner.
Buzz, what is your least? Is your least story tonight that back in the 1930s, an old lady stuck a Q-tip up your wiener?
No, Don.
That's the least story.
No, our top story tonight is Ellen has great breasts.
Oh, how about
that? Is that really your lead? No, actually.
Oh, you're funning me.
The lead is the son of Satan a vegetarian?
Wow.
That's tonight's top story.
Okay, everybody, please stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments. Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That's very
1930s professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
St. Patrick's Day.
Aaron Gobralis.
Now here is Guy Q-Tip.
Is Satan's boy a vegetarian? The top conservative in line to succeed the current pope says the Antichrist is already here. The London Times quotes 71-year-old Cardinal Giacomo Beefy as saying that the Antichrist is not the beast with seven heads described in the Book of Revelation.
We must kill the boy.
But a fascinating personality whose charm and credibility has fooled his enemies.
He's charming, but kill the boy.
Not a vegetarian, though.
But the Cardinal says the Antichrist preaches vegetarianism, pacifism, environmentalism, and animal rights.
This is Sam Huff.
There he is. The Cardinal, who serves as the Archbishop of Bologna, doesn't say, if he has anybody in particular in mind.
Rob is the Archbishop of Bologna.
When he says the Antichrist walks among us. That's from the London Times.
His name is O-S-C-A-R.
All three.
My Satan has a first name.
It's O-S-C-A-R.
The Archbishop of Bologna. All three of the New York City police officers in the Abner Louima case have been found guilty of obstructing justice. The officers were convicted today for concealing the role one of them played in the torture 3 years ago of a Haitian immigrant in a police station bathroom. The officer, that officer, Charles Schwarz, loudly cursed his lawyers as he was led out of the courtroom today. This CNN reporter was on hand to describe what happened next.
Why, you dummy.
Don't you dare hit me in the head. You know I'm not normal. to do things right.
Wolf Blitzer.
Hard to get good help in this economy. Here's the CNN reporter now.
Oh, okay, all right.
After the verdict was read and the courtroom was cleared, there was chaos in the hallway. Charles Schwartz, who was already in custody, was taken out, and he could be heard yelling behind a closed door. One of the officer's mothers collapsed. A third officer threw what appeared to be his cell phone against a wall.
Officer Thomas Bruder says he told the truth and that he will not let the verdict break him. Quoting him, "I'm stronger than anyone in this building." A passenger jet skidded off a runway in Burbank, California last night. They just dragged it off the highway today.
Get to know Charlie.
Whoops! This is going to be a rough one.
That's what they told him.
Mind of a child.
It rammed the car and stopped just short of a gas station, so that was very close.
Too fast, Joe! Too fast, Joe! Too fast!
I'm sorry, Charlie.
I know.
I screwed up again.
Oh, man, we'll go ahead to the barricade to the highway.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your pilot speaking. Please evacuate the plane. It's burning. Right now.
Joe,
you are a moron. And so am I.
Actually, and fortunately, there was no fire.
No fire. Oh,
the plane.
Well, there wasn't a fire.
The plane only lost 10 gallons of fuel out of the 6 or 7,000 gallons it was carrying.
I'm coming by on TV with the big fire extinguishers.
With the foam, you want to do that to make sure that the spilled fuel, what little there was of it, doesn't catch on fire.
And it's fun to play in.
Of course it is, Charlie.
Foamy!
The two people in the car that got hit got hurt, but only 8 of the 140 people on the plane got hurt, and none of the injuries were serious. No serious injuries.
Sorry.
The 737's front landing gear apparently collapsed. It's only the second accident in the 28-year history of Southwest Airlines.
Have a bag of peanuts.
And the pilot did warn them it was going to be a rough landing.
Southwest.
New York City officials are investigating...
That's nice.
They're investigating a couple of tobacco companies, including Philip Morris. They believe in New York that these tobacco companies know that their cigarettes are being smuggled up I-95 from here in Virginia up to the Big Apple. The cigarette tax in Virginia is 2.5 cents a pack. The new tax in New York is $1.19, the highest in America.
Okay, well, thanks for letting the world know the real reason we're going up to New York now.
The Washington Post says bootleggers sell the contraband smokes to small stores and newsstands in New York, where the tax is never collected. That costs New York hundreds of millions of dollars in tax money every year.
Hey, so Philip Morris, get together. We're good-looking Monday night. We'll go to Marlboro Man, high in the sky right now. I got a pack of Camelodon filters. We're calling number 17. Call me. 1-800-L-U-N-G-C-A-N-B-E-R on a Philip Morris show.
Marlboro Man up in the sky. The Post says big discount stores in Virginia can legally sell tons of cigarettes, and they do, knowing exactly this is what's going on. The tobacco companies and the distributors allegedly know it as well.
All right, this is Paul Mall. I want you to stand by and listen for the Lucky Strike touch phone. For right now, let's go up to the Marlboro Man.
Hey, how you doing? It's looking awfully smoky down there. Real tough to get through this log jam, I'll tell you.
This is Philip Morris. How you doing?
I'm doing this tonight.
Oh, good.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Oh, man. Hold on there, bud.
All right.
More news with nicotine. Coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All available through audio tape.
No, I don't know what to say.
Successful radio management doesn't happen by accident. It happens with solid training.
I mean, I forgot to tell you that I was taking you up on what I thought was the agreement. No.
With Ken's tapes, you'll develop skills in crisis management.
Because that's why I asked you in the first place.
Enhanced memory skills.
I don't remember, but that is certainly possible.
And the all-important art of decision-making.
Can I think about it?
The Ken Stevens Management Seminar. Get yours today.
Is it Monday?
And start managing.
There.
They're just men, flesh and bone. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Buzzy. Hi, Don and Mike. The guy who makes The Sopranos wants more money.
So do some of the cast and crew members.
Damn. Now that they've wrapped up their second season, show creator David Chase is telling HBO he wants more money or he won't be back.
It'll be money.
Listen, give them all the money they want. Here's the only thing I'd say.
What?
We've loved The Sopranos for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Since the first episode came on, nobody has said that that show is greater than us. Right. Here's all I ask. You could have all the money in the goddamn world.
Mm-hmm.
Make the show 60 minutes long.
Yes, hear, hear.
You don't hear me and Mike coming to work today and it's 6:30 saying, hey, you know what, that's it.
Yeah, we're going to be earlier this week.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, most all of the episodes up to this point have been, what, 50, 55 minutes? Last night, 43 minutes, they were out.
It was like a Larry Sanders show.
Yes.
Don't like that at all.
Well, now that they've wrapped up their second season, David Chase wants more money.
They're all terrific earners, don't get me wrong, but, you know, come on.
He just got a new contract last year, one that pays him about $1.5 million a year with big raises in the 2 years that follow. But he wants to renegotiate again, and so do some of the actors, some of whom have more leverage than others. The Sopranos starts shooting its next season this July. The contracts are expected to be all worked out within the next couple of months.
Only two things I ask.
Yes.
One full hour.
Mm-hmm.
And please let Christopher die.
You don't like Christopher, do you?
I've not liked him from the first episode.
It wouldn't be any skin off my butt if he was gone. He's a good earner, though.
What's his last name, Rob?
Maltasanto.
Christopher Maltasanto.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And please, more Artie Bucco.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Artie. You mean the restaurant?
The restaurateur.
I like that.
More Artie Bucco.
Don't you want to eat in that restaurant? I really do. It looks like good food.
Sure. Yeah.
Tomato and tripe.
The Maria multimillionaire couple is still milking their few minutes of fame. Rick Rockwell says he's trying to make lemonade out of all this. He says the TV fiasco will help him finish his autobiography, Laughing Your Way to the Top. He tells the New York Post he's still doing interviews.
I Am an Asswipe by Rick Rockwell.
That ought to be the new name of the book. Wait, make Laughing Your Way to the Top. Like, how did he... He didn't get to the top.
No. But he feels that way. He's still doing interviews, mostly with foreign journalists. And he says he hopes to land on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, although that show says it isn't interested in him.
Mr. Rockwell, how did you turn into a total a-hole?
Darva Conger, meanwhile, turns up on Larry King Live this week.
Miss Conger, how do you have the name of a person that sounds like an insect sack? Well, I'm Conga. Did you serve in Desert Storm? Answer me. Rockwell, how many restraining orders?
Yes, General Bullcutter. Thank you for talking to the foreign press, kids.
Now, who are we going to believe here? The men who risk their lives fighting fires or a hooker?